Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Start your engines. May the best woman win. Start your engines. May the best woman win.
Best woman.
Welcome to Flame On, the draggiest, most delicious dandies on the internet. I'm Brian the Bear. I have Jared, our guy tunist.
Hi, guys.
I have Eric, our hot muscle daddy, not at all pig.
Bottom.
And Oral.
And then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. So, ain't nobody got time for that.
Where's the question?
That is the question.
Nobody cares. Move on.
That is the question. Where is the question? The question will be joining us for some comics a little later on the show, but for now, he is off on Adventures Unknown.
He's and recovering from last night. Who the hell are we kidding?
Yeah, pretty much. Was he at the store?
No.
Okay. So he had adventures in other parts of the greater Orlando area. Yeah. Anyway, so we are here. We have some great movie reviews. We got some TV. We want to dish about some very gay shows, one of which is the shocking RuPaul's Drag Race, which by the time you're hearing this, the mystery will be revealed as to who is the finalist, but we'll get to that. And our, or at least Oral and my favorite, Good Christian Bitches.
I love that show.
Which is on the bubble and
the
may
bubble.
Not make it, so.
Maybe by the numbers.
Got to get that out there. And Game of Thrones, am I the only one here watching Game of Thrones?
No, I'm watching Game of Thrones.
Okay, so we got a couple Game of Throners. We got DC Animation Block and the Marvel Animation Block and some gay news. Lots of gay news. I like filled this episode chock full of gay news this time, and in video games, and I have a very secret confession to admit in video games.
Yes.
So and of course comics, we'll talk about that. We got Brett White coming on from all things gay and comic-y. He writes for CBR and other things, so he will be joining us to talk about comics and an Avengers review if you're really lucky. So anyway, let's get started. Let's see. We got horror. The horror of the Wrath of Khan?
Oh, God.
No,
yeah, that was a horror.
Wrath of Khan was great. No, so Wrath of
Wrath
what?
Wrath of Titans. Okay. That was
Wrath of the Titans.
That was his, what's his name? Sam Worthington?
Mm.
Okay. He didn't even work out for this freaking movie.
No, he's
no.
He worked horrible.
I signed a 2-movie deal. The first one was kind of, the second one, I'm just going to, and lift one barbell, lift two
Maybe.
Barbells, we're done.
See, in his contract, this is a creature feature film, so he is actually one of the creatures.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Is that how that works?
I love the movie.
The thing that I found quite amusing is the woman, I don't know what the hell her name is, but she was in the first one, The Damsel in Distress.
Andromeda.
And it's funny that they'd be battling, and everybody be covered in blood and mud, and she would turn around and look up, and her makeup and hair was perfect. I was like, oh.
Press to the nines.
Oh, how nice.
Press to the nines.
So this is a sequel to Clash of the Titans, the remake.
Yes. Well, what it was God of War. It was purely God of War.
Cool. Kratos was there?
He might as well have been.
Kratos is hot.
But see, the problem with the movie is you thought you were going to care, and then they proved you wrong. And so it just kept going and going, and there's a labyrinth, and there's a minotaur, and I'm like, didn't I watch this already? No, and that was Immortals.
Yeah. I was going to say, that sounds like Immortals.
It was a better labyrinth than Immortals, but it was still boring. It was dull.
I fell asleep.
Really?
I totally fell asleep, and then when I woke up, there was supposedly this big battle with Ares that I totally missed.
Really?
Yeah.
So Ares is back. The guy who played him.
Nobody knows. Nobody
no,
knows.
No, no. It's
no, that's
Voldemort.
Yes.
And then Zeus was back.
Liam Neeson.
So those were pretty cool. Those two.
It was 2.5 hours of daddy issues.
It was.
That's like the Greek myth right there.
But it was gay daddy issues.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's hot.
You won't love me. I hate my brother. I'm going to embrace you and try to stab you in the back. Zeus is dying. It's just the whole big production. It didn't enthrall me at all. I could have dealt without it. We had a wonderful brunch, though.
We had a wonderful brunch.
Well, that's
good.
But
let me tell you.
Oh, and so you saw it during the day, so it didn't cost as much. So that's good, at least.
Yeah. We saw it during the day. We saw it in real 3D. I still fell asleep. But I liked it. They did a whole lineup to hold the line against Kronos, right? And it's this huge, gigantic lava monster that comes out. I'm like, oh. And what did you say? What was your line? They didn't give me dental. They didn't give me medical.
I'm leaving. Hold the line, excuse you? I don't even have hazard pay for this.
Wow, that's really...
not even entertaining.
Well, I am so sad to hear that movie... Although the first one, from what I remember, was not great.
It was okay.
It was okay.
Yeah. Serviceable, but yeah, they're not the greatest adaptations
of Greek
myth. But
you know, it's funny because there's a scene where they're walking over like a desert and it's ridge and they're like all the company's all together still. And the only thing I could think of is they totally ripped this off of Peter Jackson. I can't wait to watch The Hobbit.
Oh, well, that's good. I mean, The Hobbit.
No. It'll be good.
No, it won't.
It'll be good.
No. Well, there is a little bit of controversy, I should say, regarding The Hobbit. I don't know. We'll just mention this. Mm-hmm. Did you see this? The film, The Hobbit, they're filming in not high def. They're filming in high def, too, but they're filming at a higher frame rate.
Yes.
45 frames a second, I think. Higher frame rate means that the motion should be smoother and more realistic is the idea. However, the test video that they've shown to the, I guess, people on, not the internet, but they've shown it to some people, and it looks like a television show because TV has a higher frame rate than movies. Yes.
Oh, wow.
And this is kind of scary because if you think about it, an epic movie should not look like a TV show.
No, you know what? It's like when they have HD TVs and you watch like To Sir with Love. Like, no. I've seen this. Like To Sir with Love with Sidney Poitier. When you look at it originally, it looks great.
It's not like a good gay porn title.
No.
Right. Okay.
But when you watch it on an HD TV with the little like switches and conversions, it looks like an old like TV show.
Oh, let me tell you, I watched Golden Girls in HD. They're zombies. They are zombies. I'm like, oh God.
It's true. It's really true. I mean, in HD, especially if they rescan it, the makeup is like, ooh. But if you guys have these TVs at home, the newer TVs, like 120 whatever hertz, and you have that motion smoothing thing on, drives me crazy. My dad keeps it on all the time, and a couple other people I know who have these TVs, and it's just like, this is unrealistically smooth. Like the panning, it's just like it's mechanical looking. I it bothers me.
Really?
Yeah.
So I am absolutely concerned about this. Now, obviously, I think there's enough production oversight that if it looks terrible, they're not gonna, you know, they're gonna do something.
Yeah.
Because you can probably downsample, I guess. I don't know.
They'll figure out a way.
Yeah. I'm a little worried now.
People create new ways to do movies all the time.
Yeah.
I'm sure they can retrofix.
Yeah, I hope so. But anyway, so that's a scary thing about The Hobbit.
I guess they're calling James Cameron for this. Oh.
Well, Cameron was a big proponent of it as well, I think, although he didn't film any yet. Anyway, so that's that. Now, let's talk about Cabin in the Woods, because I saw this.
I'm scared.
I saw it. It was good.
I think Eric and I are the only two that have seen it. What did you know going into it?
I'm terrified. I hate horror movies. I saw one. It scarred me for life. So when I went in, people were like, it's not my average horror movie. It's not that teen slasher what I thought it was going to be. So I was like, okay, I'll try.
Right.
And wow. It's just nothing I expected.
Good.
Nothing. And that's what was really great.
Exactly.
And spoiler alert, Sigourney friggin' Weaver.
Yes.
Sigourney friggin' Weaver.
See, what's funny about Cabin in the Woods is I've been following this movie's trajectory for years. It literally has been made and in the can for years.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And it's just for some reason they didn't release it. I don't know I forgot the reasoning. Anyway,
hearing rumors about was it Hemsworth, not being was it in shape for
Thor
or something like that?
Yeah. There has to be more than that because I mean I think the film itself was in the can, like they have had it, and just not released it. So
well,
I don't
between
know.
Him being Thor and Joss Whedon doing the Avengers, of course they know that they would make something out of this.
Yeah, well, right, and I'm so glad that they finally like maybe producers were just nervous about it. It is a very non-traditional horror movie. In fact, I think it's probably the most non-traditional and certainly the smartest horror film I've seen since Scream.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
in the way that it tackles the horror. Scenario, kids in a cabin on a lake in the woods off on their own, monsters attack, in the way they handle it, it's so smart, so self-aware, but it doesn't make fun of itself. It's not like self-aware in that check this out. But it has a level of sort of narration or a level of story on top of story that actually really works and is very smart.
Well, I loved how they it's like when they were all in that basement. You know, all the basic whatever object they're picking up, they're deciding how it's gonna turn out.
Yeah,
what horror movie they're gonna go into.
Right. So let's give a little bit of spoiler because I think even the trailer shows a little bit of this. There is an idea at the very beginning of the movie that these kids are going to a cabin in the woods, just like you'd expect, but there is some outside agency directing them there and controlling their experience. Now, you don't know what that agency is and what the purpose is. And I don't want to say because that is something that when that is revealed, what they're doing, why they're doing it.
Holy crap.
It is. it definitely deepens the stakes, so to speak, of what's going on in the movie. But it allows them to play both horror and suspense with comedy because these people who are controlling this scenario, they're being very funny. Like it's Bradley Whitford, I think, from he's been in a bunch of stuff. Studio 60, he was the main writer. Anyway, he's been in a lot of stuff. I can't think of this
and
guy's
a lot
name.
Of Angel.
Yes, so
and Buffy.
So Buffy
Andrew was there, and what was the girl's name from Angel?
Oh, Fred.
Yes, Fred.
So there are many, many, many actors from Buffy, Angel, and Dollhouse.
In fact, Dollhouse.
The pothead. Guy with the cool retractable bong, which is pretty
hilarious.
He's actually from Dollhouse, and he was fantastic in Dollhouse. I really like him. These Buffy alumni.
Confession, I've never seen past the first episode of Dollhouse.
That is a shame.
Here's
the thing about Dollhouse. It's two seasons, so it's easy to watch. It's both on Netflix, but on streaming. Brilliant show.
Okay.
So, like Firefly in a lot of ways, in that it was completely missed. But it actually made two seasons, so it wasn't that missed.
Yeah.
But I mean, and it has an ending that kind of wraps things up, sort of, and leaves things
for
future.
It was on Friday. I had a
Friday night.
I know. It's in the death slot. Well, we'll get to Fringe and talk about that whole thing, too. But anyway, Dolls is brilliant. So a lot of people from that, Buffy's, Drew Goddard and Joss Whedon both co-wrote this script, and then Drew Goddard directed. Drew Goddard, you guys would know. I mean, he's a writer from Buffy and all that. And written some of the Buffy comics. He directed Cloverfield.
Oh, really?
Yep, that's him. So, not his first directing gig. But anyway, so you have this meta level of, like, these people controlling things. Fred's one of the scientists. This older guy who I can't think of his name, but he's been in tons
of
stuff.
He's in so many
things. You go, oh, that guy. And they're making jokes, and they're taking bets on what you don't know.
What happened.
And one joke we'll give away is they're taking bets on what monster, what creature will they pick, so to speak, in this basement. So, like, people are placing bets on, zombies, vampires, witches. I mean, you name any random monster you can come up with. Hellraisers, whatever his name is.
Yeah, because if you picture it, the basement had all this old antique crap,
yep.
And everybody's looking at it.
Yep.
So they're all, and everybody's like, oh, what are they going to choose? What are they going to choose? So that was good.
And
really liked it.
And the protagonist of the film, the virgin in certain ways, she picks the thing that summons the, not zombies, and this is one of their jokes, but zombie rednecks Yes. A zombie redneck family.
It's the Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah, the Hills Have Eyes.
Exactly, exactly. So, and so that's the other thing. This movie does a really brilliant job of playing with these horror tropes, both in that case and then later in the film, you know, but from another perspective. So anyway, again, I don't want to spoil that because I think that really is what you go, oh, wow, this is different. And I love how it ties in with Japanese horror.
Yep.
That was brilliant.
That was so good.
Because you know all the Japanese horror films like The Eye and all that crap. The Circle. Is that the Circle?
Grudge.
No, the Grudge. The Grudge.
The Ring.
The Ring. The Ring. The Circle is the gay porn equivalent, I think. Oh, no, that's The Hole. The Hole. That's the gay porn one.
Which really? That sounds very interesting.
I saw them on Ricky Lake one time. Uh-huh. Isn't that an older film?
Yeah. They were on Ricky Lake?
Yeah, that was... Girl, that was a long ago.
Wow. Well, if you have not seen The Hole and you like funny gay porn, oh my God. And it's gay porn. It's porn. Though they have a softcore version that's pretty funny. It's hilarious, though. It's really good. Playoff on The Hole or The Ring. I always do that. So, whatever. Circular orifice. So, not a vagina. we'll talk about that. So, yeah, the... anyway, it's a great movie. It's a great movie. And so even if you don't like horror, and it does get to be a horror film, I mean, that's no mistaking, it's still worth seeing. And just, you know.
No. But once the
company
of starts,
a strong masculine, you know.
You just have to throw that into my face, don't you?
I'm not, what? Oh, come on.
That I'm single? I'm single, everyone. That I'm single? I'm a strong, independent woman. I don't need a man, but I'll take a man. But I don't need a man.
You might want one for this. Just
yes,
to,
you would.
Just to kind of grab and go, oh. Anyway.
I did, but it's funny. I didn't grab my husband. I grabbed my straight roommate. Oh, isn't that funny?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my.
So, anyway, please go check it out. It's really good. Let's move on to some TV. Now, I don't know about this, but I heard a rumor that Once Upon a Time is not made it? Is it in it?
I don't know.
Last time I heard, it's still on the bubble.
Yeah. Okay.
I love the show. Okay. I love the show.
Yeah.
I'm completely caught up, and yeah. Regina, who is the evil queen from Snow White, is such a freaking bitch.
Really?
I love this.
Or are you watching this?
No, I'm watching
Grimm. He stopped episode
Okay,
three.
See, I've heard more about Grimm than I have about Once Upon a Time.
I love Grimm.
Yeah, my brother Jeff loves Grimm as well, so I'm torn. Like, I'm interested in both shows, but I have not watched more than the first episode of both. So it's like, maybe over the summer, whatever, I might get caught up. I don't know. Whenever it comes out.
I think at this stage, both networks need to give it another shot.
Yeah.
You know, regardless, because their shows, well, all three networks, their shows, they're struggling.
Right.
Most of them, like, you know, they're critically acclaimed ones, The Good Wife, there's CSI, Infinity, Galactic Police.
That'd be fun.
But,
I'd watch that.
Yeah, I'd watch that. But, patent pending. copyright. But I feel like we lost so many good shows. A lot of good shows ended on their own terms.
Right.
They slashed and burned a lot.
Yeah.
So just, you know, what does it take to give it another shot?
Yeah,
you're already
true.
Losing the cable. You're already losing
oh,
the
yeah.
cable.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, I am proud to announce Fringe, which is one of my favorite shows, and I don't think anyone else here watches it.
I watched the half of the first season, but they went on hiatus, and then I forgot to go back.
Well, it was the World Series, I think.
Oh, yes, yeah. It was.
So Fringe is... we've talked about the show before.
Oh,
but
God, not another season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They are getting a final 13 episodes. And this is good because right now the story, like the episode that had they had on from when we were recording this last week, they actually jumped forward in the future. Now, they've done this before, but they jumped forward in the future to show the world that happens because of the results of what the characters do. And that world is pretty interesting in a dystopian kind of fascist way. So I'm very excited. Like, supposedly, the one of the characters they introduced in this episode, she actually will possibly be coming back. And she has a relationship to the other characters on the show. So I'm really excited about that. And I really want to see what happens. But so if you haven't seen Fringe, just a real quick elevator pitch is it's X-Files with parallel universes. But it's otherwise like Monster of the Week. Crazy science.
It's DC
stuff.
52,
kind of
weekly.
You know, only two universes.
I think one of the reasons why I never got back to Fringe is I got hooked on Eureka.
Yeah,
and they're very different.
They are very different.
They're
from
very
what
different.
I've seen.
Eureka's
yeah.
very. It's much more comedy.
Yeah,
but I love Eureka, and they're like Fringe are getting their final season.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So Eureka's getting a final.
Like,
run.
Like this is they're on their final season.
Okay.
Now.
Okay. Yeah, Fringe was on the bubble, definitely. But to do this, either they had to slash their budget or they just got 13 episodes. I don't know which it should be.
Oh, so go fast forward into the future where none of the actors have to get paid.
Well, no, they found a way. I don't want to spoil too much, but they found a way to bring some of the actors forward. It's a time travel-y sort of thing. So anyway, it's really good. If you like sci-fi, like if you like Monster of the Week, but you also like the ongoing story, it's a great show. Check Fringe out. Now, let's talk about another show on the bubble. This is a show that if you ever grew up in a church or you knew people who were in a church or you're from Texas. That's
yes.
fair.
Yes.
Good Christian Bitches, and we're going to keep calling it that because that's the name of the book mm-hmm. that's based on GCB.
GCB, yes.
It is a Kristen Chenoweth
mm-hmm.
Vehicle.
Annie Potts.
But Kristen Chenoweth really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an ensemble cast, but let's face it. Kristen gets like the best roles, like the best parts of the episodes, and she gets to sing in every episode almost.
She does.
It is a vehicle for her, but it is by the guy that did Sex and the City.
Mm.
So Darren, why isn't doing it? See, I don't understand. I'm so interested, and it sounds fascinating. The little clips.
It's on Sunday night,
but I don't watch it.
Yeah. It's on Sunday nights, which sometimes shows
sometimes
do well.
It works, but I.
What well, the age of DVR is? You know, I should be able to at least DVR it. I'm not even doing that.
Not why not? The hell, it's all your fault.
You know, wonderful. it's the humor's really like wry,
yes.
very dry.
Yes,
it gives us that parody of Texas that some of us know. But at the base and its core, if you've ever gone to church and lived through Southern Baptist churches mm-hmm. or just like churches and religion in general,
yep.
these women are vicious towards each other.
Yeah.
And it's funny because another podcast, Pop Confidential, which I love. Mm-hmm. I just need you guys to put out a little more podcasts a little more frequently. Coming from us who do it like once every month and a half, they love that show. And it's funny because Jamie, the host, said something that I totally agree with, how these women use religion, not in an evil sort of way, but a nasty, vindictive sort of way. And they always use religion to admonish you.
Yes.
So, you know, he was talking about how his grandmother, every time I had a fight with his father, his grandfather, he said, you know, the devil is just so busy in your life. And it's true.
Right.
Like, it's that aspect of religion that permeates your soul, but you're still going to have sex, you're still going to drink, you're not totally, like, you're not a zealot.
Yeah.
You just love the Lord, and you use the Lord to beat other people down.
Yeah. But what's beautiful about the show is it doesn't stay, it's not cynical about it.
No.
They actually have Bible verses and lessons or parables, whatever, that preach positive messages too. So, like, some Christians are getting bent out of shape because it makes fun of them, blah, blah, blah. I'm a Christian. I feel like this show, in many ways, is more in the spirit of what I would consider Christianity than many, many, many other shows on TV.
Agreed.
And it uses Bible verses, yes, in a ways that can make the characters look hypocritical. But the whole show is about the redemption of this, basically, a mean girl, high school, you know, evil bitch who is kind of in a place in her life now where she wants to be a better person, and she's confronting all these people who she wronged in high school.
She wronged, like, not just once or twice, like every day she tortured these girls.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, she was mean.
So she's getting what she deserves back.
She's getting, yes. And so there's an element of that. She's getting that kind of karma sort of, and they bring up karma. And it's funny. Like, we don't want to make it sound like it's all preachy.
No, no, no.
It's funny as hell. Kristen Chenoweth, I mean, I am one of those gay men that freaking worships at her altar. She is a goddess to me.
Mm-hmm.
I love her to death. And she's an outspoken Christian, too.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. It's like you conservatives that are bent out of shape about this show, poking fun at, you know, some of your lifestyle. You know, it's you know, you have a very devout Christian at the front of it who's poking fun at herself. So, I mean, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah,
you know?
But, I mean, they're looking at it like, you know, she's doing, it's just a job. It's a job.
Well, it's a job,
she's
but
getting
she's
getting paid. It's
she's,
like,
she's a very principled person. Like, I've read interviews with her, and she's, I mean, she does fairly well. I mean, she's
yeah.
a beautiful singer.
She's
a beautiful woman.
She's like the same.
Well, she's small, yeah, she's, but that she's helps me. Her get roles. And she does not just take any role. And so I think one of the reasons she took this role is because it allows her, I mean, it really allows her to be a star.
Exactly.
But it also has a good message, and, you know.
Like, so I think overall, this show is very positive. It's very smart. It's very funny. Yes. It's like, oh, that's not a good idea.
Well, why do you think it's good?
I think this show should have been on HBO. I think this show should have been on HBO.
Sex and the City.
Like a Sex and the City kind of thing. it would have fit better there, or maybe like a TBS, you know, because it's kind of fits their programming model. I don't think on traditional network TV, there's a tone of this that reminds me of something like Pushing Daisies.
Exactly.
It's got a very sort of lyrical ABC.
ABC.
Sunday nights.
It'll just move over to.
A lot of times that doesn't happen. So I don't know. It's on the bubble. If you guys are interested, it is not. There's sort of an ongoing story, but you don't really need to know anything.
No.
Not like Fringe. Not like any of these other shows that are really strong arced. You just jump right in and enjoy the characters. And like all the other people, like all her other friends, the Javelinas, what she used to call them, Cricket, the gay husband
hot,
thing.
Hunky fucking model.
That storyline is beautiful and in a non-traditional way.
It is. I like it. And I know some people might say, well, that's, you know, that's not how it really works.
Right.
But
yes, it does. In certain lines, that's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works and it's beautiful and not the spoiling thing. They love each other. Yes. She's always known.
Wow, they definitely love each other.
That was touching.
That's a beautiful... Like, of all the relationships on the show, that one to me is the most just beautiful in its own way.
Agreed.
You know?
And most stable, actually.
Yeah, really. And then I don't know the portly woman's name. I always forget her name, but she's doing this thing with her husband, who I've seen in other things, and I don't know what. She's doing like, what is it called? Losing It with Jesus.
She created this like meal system.
Based on biblical foods in the Bible. Oh, God. Which is straight out of the headlines, right? And she has to go on like a what is it called? Texas Excess or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like a QVC for Texas. And she... She has to present this meal, and she's been training under Annie Potts, you know, who's fabulous. And she's like a former, like, little beauty pageant mom, sort of like, you know, she would manage those little girls in beauty pageants.
Right.
So she is like ultra strict and has all these things.
And she cracks under pressure.
Oh, my God.
And talks about like the Israeli Palestine.
Oh, my God. She has like one of those beauty pageant moments where they start just rambling about nonsense, like that one beauty pageant.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. It's like literally hilarious. Hilarious.
Carrie, shut the hell up. I think that was her name.
Carrie,
shut the hell up.
Well. GCB, highly recommended. Please check it out before it's gone. Now, Game of Thrones, another exciting thing. We actually did a Game of Thrones 101.
Night is dark and full of terror.
Good. That's can we make it quick?
Well, no. Actually.
They did the 101?
Actually.
The 101 just gets you caught up to where we are. So
Game of Thrones, very good. They're really pushing the religious
aspect.
But
I don't care.
Shut up.
But I don't care.
Well,
but why
not?
I will
tell you why you care.
I don't care.
Get to the gay. Get to the gay.
Okay. Well, no. Well, I'll get to the two gays.
Okay.
One actually has to deal with the store. Last night, there was a drag performance in the Geeky. Let me tell you, listeners.
Oh, boy.
I am not pleased because we're supposed to christen the Geek Easy with the drag show. That was supposed to be me. And it was either going to be Rihanna or Patti LaBelle. Or
when you wait 2 years, it's not going to wait for you anymore, honey.
Well, no, because they were fixing it up. I didn't want to trip.
There was no venue for Oral to present. And...
So,
but anyway,
I don't know
okay,
about this drag
okay,
show.
But, but the Fire Priestess.
Yes. Lysandra?
Lysandra, yes. Lysandra was at the store last night.
A black woman's name.
Well, hush. Yes.
I'm just saying.
And she did, what was it? She did... What's her face? Set fire to the rain. Adele. There we go.
Ah. Ooh.
Adele set fire to the rain as Lysandra.
Oh.
Was it cute? No, it wasn't.
That's
girl.
Pretty funny though. Set
no,
fire to the rain. I like that idea.
But I mean,
bad.
No. Well, no, it wasn't bad. I was just bitter.
Oh.
Especially because I was outside working my ass off. Mm. But not prostituting, just working my ass off.
Working the street.
But the gays. Mm. So Renly.
Yes.
Renly,
this is why you care.
Yeah, Renly is cute.
Renly is not just cute; he's fucking adorable.
Yes,
I have a soft, small part in my heart for Renly. He's not; he's almost my type. Like the beard, that definitely helps. Yeah. But yeah, no, he is a king, and he is a king that has like on GCB a very non-traditional marriage, and his boyfriend is not as hot as he was in the first season.
Loras,
he's the Knight of Flowers. I know. But he is he's like the boyfriend, right? His sister is the wife of the king. So like the what's their last name? The Loras crap, whatever.
I can't remember.
Whatever their last name is. These two are fucking manipulative little bitches. And they have, like, you know, seduced this king so that the sister is the queen and gets to bear the children of the king. But the boyfriend gets to fuck the king. or get fucked by the king, whatever. So and
she's a beard.
She is a total beard,
but she's a fierce beard,
fierce and breasty. So for all our straight listeners, if you are excited about those kind of things, which I know you are, you will enjoy whatever her name is. Miss Breasts, whatever.
Yeah. The dynamic between the three, it's funny because she knows. Like she
totally knows. She knows. Totally knows.
Tells him that she knows. He's like, well, you know, if you can't sleep with me, do you want my brother to help you get started?
Yeah, and I'll call him. No, or I'll lay down on my back and you can pretend or something. Oh my God! It's that's like, awesome.
You would love Game of Thrones, but you just never gave it a shot.
I gave it 3 episodes.
That's it.
No, yeah. you need to give it more.
The first three.
See, here's the thing about Game of Thrones: because there's so many characters, there's just a lot. You gotta really pick out the storylines that you're interested in.
I think in 3 episodes they should at least got me somewhere.
Eric, can you do at least watch it for Peter Dinklage?
Oh my God,
he makes the show.
Tyrion Lannister is the imp.
The greatest Lannister ever.
The best. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, far and away. Although the cousin's kind of cute. The one that's fucking the queen.
Oh, yeah. He's kind of cute.
Anyway. In a very fey, girlish way. I'm not proud to admit that. But anyway. Tyrion is amazing. He has the best lines. He is the biggest badass for a little,
dwarf.
I don't want to get the terms wrong. Badass Lannister. The fucking... Oh, this is what I was going to ask you. Is who's a bigger bitch? The queen from this Once Upon a Time or Joffrey? Because Joffrey is a fucking cunt.
The
queen
from
Once Upon a Time changed the whole universe over to make it hers.
No.
Well, Joffrey.
Joffrey is truly he's the deranged. King. He's like Caligula and Nero, like wrapped into one. And he sits on this throne and everyone has to do what he says because he's rightfully the king. So to speak, he was coronated and everything.
Yeah.
His mother loves all of her kids, so she has to let him do it. Yep. She's only the queen. She's a queen regent. But, you know, the king's the king.
Yeah.
The problem with it is that Joffrey's so deranged that he takes pleasure in hurting people.
Oh, yeah. He's so sadistic.
That while he's supposed to have sex with these two prostitutes.
So there's a comment made. Because he's like slapping his future wife around, who's like one of the Stark family, who we like the Starks. They're usually the good people. He's slapping her around, and then the Tyrion, who's the hand of the king, who's like kind of like the administrator, prime minister sort of thing, like walks up in there and just like, "What the hell are you doing?
Snow White and Fables.
How the hell are you slapping your future wife? That is totally against whatever is proper, or whatever." So his little buddy, his like kind of king guard, person, his main guard guy, he's like, I think he's just gotta get laid, basically. He needs his wick wet or whatever.
Yeah.
So Tyrion sends him 2 prostitutes. Okay, hey, sounds like a good party to me.
Yeah.
No. Well, go for it.
So he's like, it's like, hit her. So, the girls start playfully
smacking him on the ass. Yeah.
And he's like,
just watching.
Harder. To the point where he gives them a belt.
A freaking, like, studded, painful belt.
And so she's, the girl's being forced to whip her because that's the gang. And he says, harder. And she's like, please, my lord, like, if there's too much pain, there'll be no pleasure. He gives them like this staff.
It's like a scepter, I think.
Yeah, this scepter.
And it's got an elk's head.
It's got an elk's head on it
with the horns and everything.
And he literally says, "You will beat her, and then drag her body to Tyrion."
Yep.
And say, "Never do this again."
Yep.
But he's getting off on someone
who's
like legended.
Pulling cranking a. Oh no, this is beyond that. Though. I mean, this is the S.
It's psychotic.
It's the S. It's not the masculine. But he's cranking a crossbow the whole time and like aiming at him. Like, you better fucking do this. I thought he fucked. She had him, her fuck her with the scepter.
He might have,
because the sound effect that they used was like, oh, whoa. Yeah. But I mean, it could have just been beating. Who knows? Anyway. Great show. I mean, we're making this like we're talking about the most terrible part of the last episode. But no, seriously, if you like epic fantasy drama,
it does that
with gay characters. And
what's great about it is that muscles. It downplays a lot of the fantasy, because in a lot of fantasy shows, I've remarked on this before, is that because it's not playing so much on the magic aspect, it's more for the relationships with all these other characters. That's
yes.
why it's yeah. such a good
Except
show.
For this last
well,
episode.
Yeah, this last episode we had, I mean, there's dragons that are kind of there.
Well, the dragons, we don't really, like, they're small and
they're little baby dragons. Yeah. But then there was a really fucked up scene.
Towards the end of it. I was just like, what the hell?
A woman having, birthing a smoke monster, basically. Yeah. That's
it was
like
toxic ooze from
Lysandra.
Ferngully.
It was Lysandra.
Yeah, Ferngully.
Ferngully. So anyway, I mean, there definitely is some magic in the show, but yes, like you said, Martin does not overly utilize magic, so it's pretty good. So
okay.
So anyway, that's why you should watch the show. For those of you out there who like fantasy or like medieval knights and all that chivalry and all that crap, there's that. There's just fucked up relationships, culture, all this nonsense, and there's gay sex, lots of sex. So let's talk a little bit about the animation stuff. I'm actually not caught up on the DC stuff at all.
Young Justice.
No, I'm not.
I'm behind in Young Justice.
Young Justice.
I'm behind.
They show clips of next season.
Oh, wait, so it's almost over?
The season finale came on.
Okay, oh, so I do need all to watch right, well, it. The last episode I watched was we found out that Megan has been perpetrating a lie all along.
That's what I saw.
Think Martian.
Two, yeah, I saw
three
that
episodes behind.
Okay, that's why.
So it's not that much, but they fast forward. Oh. We have Wonder Girl, we have Nightwing, we have Cyborg, we have Starfire.
Where's Cyborg
Raven.
Come from?
I don't know.
Is Beast Boy in it?
Beast Boy,
yeah,
he's in it.
They hinted at him.
They fast forward to the Titans.
What the fuck?
I don't know what the story arc is, but they ask Cassandra as Wonder Girl, then it flashes. You see Starfire go by, you see Raven, you see Nightwing, and we don't know if it's Tim, because it also shows a silhouette of somebody in red.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Tim Drake's going to be Red Robin in it. So,
I will say this has been
exciting.
The longest season for any show ever.
Well they took a
no,
break.
They took a big hiatus
for
DC Nation to kick off.
Yeah.
Wait,
Super
there.
Best Friends Forever is like my favorite
That's
little show.
Pretty ridiculous and funny.
I have a question. It's totally unrelated. We'll go back to DC. Did Thundercats finish?
No,
is it coming back?
I think it's coming back.
Okay.
That's Mr. Lund.
I love Thundercats.
I didn't ever. I've still not seen any of them.
I watched a few. I
watched. Yeah, I watched a lot of it.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I need to double.
Now, so well, that's exciting. I definitely want to.
I don't know if it's just like a story arc that they're doing, or this is now they're going.
Because I've always kind of thought like, okay, this is kind of cool, but yeah, everybody knows Teen Titans Go. That was like a huge thing for people, and for the comics, that configuration had been the Teen Titans for so long that to not go with that is kind of odd. But whatever. What about Green Lantern? Are you caught up on that?
Two episodes behind.
Okay, I'm like. They're like doing a gladiator thing.
Yeah.
It's good, but
it's a little
kiddie. Yeah, it's a little kiddie, and I enjoy it, but I'm not very inclined. I'm curious to this, that last episode, because it has Carol.
Oh,
and
she's
Carol
back.
Shows her a sapphire, and she goes, I thought you were dead, and she's beating the shit out of hell.
Nice. Well, supposedly they are bringing in the all the colors at some point. Because
yeah,
they showed a picture.
They want to do the Blackest Night in animation.
Oh, wow.
Or something similar to
it. Because, I mean, it's very non-DC continuity Green Lantern adventure. Like, they're just out doing their space adventure.
Well, it's Deep Space Nine with the Green Lanterns. Lost.
Yeah, pretty much.
When
or Voyager. No, it's Voyager.
Voyager.
Yeah,
that's right.
And Kilowog's awesome. I mean, anytime you have Kilowog making hammers with his ring, it's good. And I like the, what's his name, the red guy?
The Rage one? Razor?
I like Razor
I like
a lot.
Him too.
He's got an interesting arc. You know, it's a sympathetic Red Lantern. So.
You know, I like Green Lantern, don't get me wrong. And I know that the storylines have been better than what I'm about to say.
Oh, boy.
But I'm still a Nova fan. Like,
well, that's okay.
I love Nova.
Nova's
okay, well,
great.
That's Marvel. We're talking about DC.
Well, no, I know. It's just that for some reason,
it's not a mutually
well,
exclusive
the
arrangement.
Ultimate Spider-Man that Nova's in.
Oh, I heard he was in.
No,
Ultimate Spider-Man has the clips I'm watching.
Nova.
He seems to have like a team.
No, I haven't watched.
It's Spider-Man. It's Iron Man. Iron Fist.
Power Man. Iron Fist.
With the girl.
Fist.
The Claw. White Claw, something like that.
No
tiger,
idea.
White Tiger.
Oh, the white Tiger.
Nova's in
yeah.
it.
Okay.
You know, yeah. And they're all like Nick Fury's trained. They're all like teenagers. They all go to high school together and stuff like
yet.
That.
So yeah, Jay Jones, great friend of the show.
I love you, Jay Jones.
Hi,
thank you for dinner
Jay
last
Jones.
Night.
He actually was our first. He unlocked the first perk on our pledge drive, which is over at this point. And you will find out soon who our winner was, or what the winning topic was, rather.
Right now, we're being
it's gonna
stared
be like
in the
us
face.
Once a month.
Stared in the face
it
by
is the
vaginas.
Maw of Charybdis.
Vaginas.
We don't know that yet. We don't know. Well, we will know that when this comes out, but we don't know that yet. So, but Jay Jones was our first perk unlocker, which was really awesome. He actually has seen a lot of it, or well, what's out, and he
Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah. Okay. He said he really enjoyed it. So, I mean, I know Bendis has been talking about it forever. Bendis is big on this. He was like one of the co-writers or, you know, co-producers or something. Jeff Loeb, of course, now is all over Marvel stuff or Marvel animation. But you guys, Avengers, are we keeping up with Avengers?
Yes. Yeah, I just caught up.
Okay, I am only up through the Doom.
The whole Kree, Miss Marvel's there.
I heard.
Loved it!
Wait a minute. I've been working two jobs and I've been drinking myself to sleep.
Did you watch the first episode? The first season of the Earth's Mightiest?
Yeah, you didn't see last season?
Oh, you didn't see last season? Well, they revealed that there are Skrulls on Earth.
They're doing the Skrull invasion.
So I should be watching this show.
So yeah, it's Secret Invasion. God. They're building up for Secret Invasion.
Okay. And I'll start watching.
Oh my.
Avengers is so good. It's so much better than I really thought it would be, given the animation.
Yes.
Like, Young Justice has like that adult sort of
the darker animation
anime style that really works well. Young Justice or Avengers is sort of more kiddie looking.
It looks, I thought it was going to be very much kid, but the story
is like they've taken a lot of good Marvel story beats and they've incorporated it. And yeah, it's got a little bit more of the modern Avengers fear, but they have Wasp, which modern Avengers doesn't really.
But she needs a costume change. I can't stand that.
Oh, no.
Skirt anymore.
I love the big
hair.
Nobody
likes the Wasp.
I love the big hair. Shut up.
No, I don't want her big hair.
I love her.
Wasp has been known for always changing her costume in the comic book. And she's in the same costume for two seasons.
Well, she's a woman.
Exactly. She would have 40 different outfits. Come on. She designed all the Avenger costumes.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, but I love her big hair, and I love seeing people cosplay as her. But anyway, no, they're doing the Kree Skrull thing. They did Captain Marvel. They have Miss Marvel now.
Miss Marvel. Oh, she was great.
They bring in Fantastic Four shows up. They mention X-Men and Spider-Man just in passing. They're not going to show up, I don't think. But great show. Anyway, let's talk.
But they showed Miss Marvel doing like a binary thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very nice.
She went up against Ronan, the guy with the big hammer, the
Kree. Yeah, Ronan
the accuser.
She went up against him, and she just started getting hotter and hotter. She started glowing brighter, and everybody's like, whoa, the hell? And she beat the shit out of him.
Well, very cool. Let's talk about RuPaul, because we have gotten people, I think on the forums, but I don't remember now. It might be Facebook. They're like, what the hell? You're a gay show. You're talking about RuPaul.
Never talk about RuPaul. It's now, so sad.
Okay, I want you to know that I've been watching RuPaul. Listeners, I've been watching RuPaul since season one. I love Drag Race. Some of my favorite queens I've been able to see. Some of them I still have missed, like Pat Benatar. Well, not that she was on it, but like Pat Benatar in my life. It took me 3 times to see her. I'm a huge fan. I love every season.
Yeah.
I pick my favorites. There are people I hate. It's really great.
It's so much fun.
If you like contest shows, kind of like Project Runway, except
they're really bitchy queens.
Yeah, they're really bitchy queens. And instead of just making the clothes and having models like present them, they make the clothes themselves and they model it themselves.
Yes. It's very impressive from that perspective.
Yeah, it's very artistic. I mean, if you break it down, the whole lip sync thing, you know.
May the best woman win.
Now, the only thing I will say is this show has a real penchant for being a typical reality show and it's bullshit drama.
Of course.
Artificial drama for drama's sake. We had the thing earlier in the season when one of the contestants just mysteriously disappeared for no reason, really. I mean, she just is gone. Although.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh. Well, this is a while ago.
No, we're not allowed.
Ah, so
we'll tell you later.
The thing most recently, and we have not seen the finale at this point, but we did see the quote unquote finale,
mm-hmm.
and they pulled a fast one mm-hmm. and did not mm-hmm. announce. What? Tell us exactly.
Yeah.
So here I am. I had missed it the night before. I'm at work. I can't get on Twitter. I can't. Twitter.
Well, it's funny. Without
I can't tweet.
Without Q here, without Q here, Oral hasn't shut the hell up yet. Am I wrong?
That is a look of
people
betrayal.
In glass houses shouldn't throw stones, especially if their best friends can demolish their house with one simple sentence. Thank you very much.
No more mutants?
Yes, no more mutants.
And enjoy the Batman then.
Yeah. But no, I didn't want to ruin it. I'm excited. I tell people I can't make it out tonight.
Yep.
I push back plans. I watch the final episode. We have to wait till the reunion special to find out who fucking won. And I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Pissed!
But I gotta say, who was on it? Raja? Right? She was on the last one.
Yeah.
Oh, she was last one. And then,
but I have to, Tyra.
Tyra Sanchez.
She
fixed her teeth.
She fixed her teeth, but she just looked hideous.
Really?
Is she hideous.
She got a beautiful face.
Remember, she loves
Beyonce. She thinks
Beyonce.
She's
Beyonce. Beyonce and
Sasha Fierce. I'm sorry, Sasha Fierce.
She loves that's her Beyonce name now? And Rihanna. So, no.
Oh, she thinks she's Sasha Fierce.
So, it's very red flowing, like
it was Mariah Carey.
No,
awards.
It's Rihanna meets Diana Ross.
It was big.
Her hair was
big. It was a full size person big.
Wow,
it was really big.
And she's a local, right? She's from Orlando.
Yeah.
So no announcement yet. The reunion special is coming up. Well, when we're recording, it'll be this week. By the time you hear this, you'll already know.
So it'll be the 7th.
Yeah.
It's tomorrow.
That was a Monday's.
This Monday.
Well, I am not that excited. Honestly, I've seen the show a couple times. It's one of those things that I do appreciate the production value as far as what it takes to be a drag queen. I have a couple drag queen friends. I know it's rough. It's a tough thing. But, you know, it's just also just – the reality shows in general just don't do it. So, but, you know, anyway. Good gay thing for us to talk about. Now, before I move on, I don't want to forget to tell these people about this great stuff. Game of Thrones. I meant to mention this. I forgot. Real quick.
Shut up.
Every Sunday night, Geeks Out, our dear friends at Geeks Out.
That's right.
They live tweet on Geeks Out. And the hashtag is Stark Raving.
Yes.
And we throw in our own little extra Game of Thrones just because that way people find it, whatever. So if you are on and watching it live, you got to watch it live. If you watch it later, it doesn't quite work. I mean, I guess it could, but just look for the hashtag Stark Raving, and you will see live tweets from that. Another thing,
hilarious.
Oh, our Geeks Out boys, Jono and oh God, it's not Jeff. Is it Jeff? Oh God, I'm sorry. I forgot. Anyway, our Geeks Out friends, they just had theirs to kick out the night, which I actually didn't. They said it went well, but I don't know if they knew how much they raised. But anyway, cool event. Our very own Jared submitted.
I about TK back the night. Someone did a TK / Bowie mashup.
Oh,
great. It was great.
Nice. Well, Jared submitted a piece for it, and
Yay!
It was included.
Yay!
As far as I know. I don't know if it's sold. I don't know how they did all that. I don't know. Whatever. But it was very good. It was really nice. Classic TK. And I posted on his birthday that awesome swashbuckling
Yeah, that was adorable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, there's actually a movement in Orlando to get him to host Gay Pride in October.
Awesome.
Our friend of the show, Danny Garcia, is trying to get that started. So if you are interested, talk to him on Facebook and let's get that happening. Because that would be awesome. And dude just turned 75.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I mean, you're not getting younger.
No.
We got to get him out here. I love him. I know. Hopefully, our dream is still to interview him. And if he comes and maybe does Pride, that would be a great chance to. He's older. So, and I wanted to mention.
Right for you, Oral. I know how you like your egg rolls. That's for you, honey.
Are you a rice queen?
Yes, you are. Don't deny it, you bitch.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
I did not know this.
Here's the thing. Now, you know, I love lots of different types of food. I like Indian. I like Thai. I like Mexican.
Moving on.
And that translates into the types of people I like.
There's nothing wrong with that.
What'd you have for dinner last night?
Lo mein.
Or was it udon?
Case in point.
It was I lived in Asia for a little while.
Yeah.
I studied abroad.
That's right, you did.
Asian men are cute.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I will agree with that.
Their bodies are unbelievable.
Here's the thing. It depends on where they come from.
Ryan!
I'm sorry.
I had this conversation with you, but you know, there's two types of Asian guys. It's either they're really hot or put them back.
You know what? And you know what? Honestly, if I, regardless of who I end up with in life, I want someone that will age gracefully with me because we all know black don't crack.
And Asian don't crack. I don't know how that works.
Asian and African American, well, black people, age very similarly. were young forever, and then one day, 67.
You're Sidney Poitier. No. What's that old, the Kung, oh God, he's been in tons of stuff.
Cicely Tyson?
No, no, Asian. Yeah, Jackie Chan. No, not Jackie Chan. Anyway, I can't think of his name. So let's move on. Oh, okay. One more thing. I got to plug our very own fan friends, Bill Z. He actually came to our panel. MegaCon.
MegaCon, yes.
Sorry. He has a podcast called Comic Book Bears.
Oh, this is when you... Okay.
And Bill's a great, lovely, nice guy. You've listened to Word Balloon. He sounds like him, like John Suntress. Very great accent, great presence. He actually has this Comic Book Bears podcast. Him, Bill Z, and then Justin. They do this two-man show. Bi-weekly-ish.
Okay.
Couple hours. It's definitely more of the long form around comics. Let's take our time. 11 o'clock comics. Take our time just talking about comics. Just comics, mostly. And so I was invited last week to be on one of their shows, and we talked for over two hours. And the biggest thing...
It's not so fun, is it, Brian?
Thank you. Thank you, Wanda. Oh,
listen, honey. I enjoyed it thoroughly. But by the end, I must admit, and I don't think I told him this yet, I did start standing up, walking around, because I had Sith to kill on the Old Republic, is what it was, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It was late. So we talked about a lot. Grant Morrison came up, of course, as it wants to do. As I am a bit obsessed.
I
did review Flex Mentallo, which I'm going to talk about in the comics segment. But we made a comparison between Grant Morrison and Archie Comics. Exactly. Not two things you would think go well together, but recent Archie Comics have, and in fact, over the course of their history, have a bit of a Grant Morrison thing going. So I'll just tease that. You guys check that out, Comic Bears. They're up on Facebook. I don't think they have a website. Let's move on. We need to talk about some gay news. There's tons of gay news, and one of the things I want to talk about is the fall. Since we mentioned about the, I think it was the Rise of Santorum.
Yeah. The Rise of
Santorum. We need to say that officially...
We pushed him down the steps, people.
The fall of Santorum has happened.
Girl, I'm sorry.
If you Google Santorum now, you probably will see many stories or many things about the fact that he is no longer running for the presidential nominee, which is a shame. Because to me, he's far more interesting than Romney.
Oh, God.
But having
drawing
said that,
paint and white bread is more interesting.
Well,
he's a good puppet.
Yes. So yeah, Romney's gone, Santorum's gone. I'm sad just because the reason he left. I mean, he was doing not great.
He had a moment,
but he, one of his kids was sick. So you know, that's
had a cold.
No. She
couldn't deal with it.
She's got like some serious like genetic sort of thing. So I mean, it was pretty sad, and I feel bad for their family. I absolutely
our condolences.
I do
and
not.
That's all you're going to get.
The good thing is she's doing better. She's doing better.
Oh, that's very
she's
good.
Doing better.
Well then,
but
congratulations. That's all you're going to get from us. Condolences and congratulations on the health of your child.
We'll be
otherwise,
respectful.
You're a disgusting person.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's done. You guys heard about this Don't Say Gay bill?
I heard something.
We talked about this, I think. It's in Missouri.
They're trying to shove us back into a closet.
It's kind of a don't ask, don't tell. But
isn't
for schools.
The whole decay thing?
Well, right. So this is what we talked about. The alternative
was Tennessee.
Oh, that's right. It was a different state. Yeah. But yeah, so in classes, they just won't be able to talk about homosexuality.
Because we don't exist.
Well, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, really?
Well, back in the history books, back in the 30s, no, we didn't.
California's been pushing to do like gay history in student curriculum. I think it might have passed, actually. But
yay!
I think so, yeah.
I need to double check that. But personally, I find that weird.
I don't know if I'm comfortable.
It's one of those things where I think it's foolish to omit, but and it's oft overlooked, like women's history. I mean, there's a lot of women who've been influential in the rise of civilization. People
Curie,
don't talk about them. They don't talk about them. They like they
Florence
barely.
Nightingale.
That's it.
Wait a minute. I know this one.
Well, who?
Betsy Ross.
Madam C.J. Walker.
Slave Railroad. Underground Railroad.
Wait a minute. Did you say the Underground Railroad?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Back of the bus.
Not Rosa Parks. That was later.
Mary McLeod Bethune.
Who?
Mary McLeod Bethune.
Oh, Bethune-Cookman?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Julia Child?
Okay. Like I said, they're oft overlooked.
We're Martha Stewart, come on.
we're moving away from the topic.
Gays, likewise, are oft overlooked because, you know, it is something culturally has only been accepted in the last 20, 30 years. So, you know, to outlaw its mention is a bit draconian, I think.
Very.
You know, so we're hoping that teachers find creative ways to
do what you want.
This.
I'm still going to be sucking dicks.
Well put. Well put.
Thank you.
Now, on the flip side of this.
No, it's this.
Yeah. I do want to mention that Pat Robertson actually said some good things. I know, it's shocking.
Really? Was it on the 700 Club?
Yes.
It was.
I used to watch that.
So do I. It's so funny. It's
we
so
have
funny.
Hell alive.
So did the earth crack open and, you know, hellfire just spew from
It's one of those hate the sin, not the sinner.
It is totally hate the sin, not the sinner. Basically, he came out and said, you know, it is he condemned gay bullying gays for being gay. But, and you know, I'm sure this was not talked about in the article I read, certainly. He did, I'm sure, talk about the fact that it's still evil and wrong. Mm-hmm. But the people are to be treated as any good Christian would treat, you know, anyone, which is nicely.
That's the way you're supposed to say we're going to burn in hell.
Yeah, exactly. So they walk past you.
But what about, there was, I think it was in Chicago, I forget where I read it, but about gay pride, actually Catholics, Christians were hugging gay people.
I saw
apologizing
that.
For
I was
they
reading
did.
That on my lunch break. Thank God I was in the car because I missed it up.
I missed it up. And then actually there's customers of ours that come to a comic shop that are very Christian and do a lot of movies for Christians, stuff like that. And he came up to me and he goes, you know, Jesus loves you. I don't have anything against, and I think it's so wrong how people treat gay people. I'm like, oh my God, really?
Did you give him a discount?
Yes, I did. Okay. But I was really just listening to him like apologize for the way we're treated. I was like, wow. He's like, I've always wanted to say that to you. And he goes, I finally got the courage to turn around and say that
nice.
To you.
Tell him to say it to me too.
No, he doesn't like you. Oh, he doesn't like black people. He hasn't accepted that yet. Oh.
Well, like, you know, Jason is another good example. Jason Blanchard, our friend. A former associate. He was the same way. I mean, very, very Christian, fairly conservative, but very, very accepting, I think, of gays. I mean,
of course, he partied in gay clubs and did drugs in gay clubs. Of course, you're accepting.
Well, he's in the military. I mean, there's lots of that, too. So, I don't know. I'm glad to see this. More and more Christians need to be outspoken about the fact that they're okay with gays, because a lot of them are.
They are.
They're like, just not very vocal about it because
these
other people
are louder.
Busted
for sleeping with guys in the stalls.
Well, no. Those are the ones who don't like it.
I have a lot of friends who grew up in the church like I did. Actually, funny story that my friend Tim, shout out to Tim, he introduced me to his parents. He's like, oh, this is my friend Oral. And he had talked about me before. He's like, oh, you know, like, he's black. He grew up Southern Baptist, and he's gay. And his mother kind of, like, balked at it. She's like, I don't understand, like, how all of those things coalesce into your friend. She loves me.
Yeah.
She loves me. And it, you know, she understands. But I will say this. She was really worried because Tim and I always hang out. We go out to dinner together.
Oh, no.
And she's
oh,
like,
no.
You know, and I was going to move in.
Oh, no.
And she's like, so what if Oral brings people home? He's like, I don't have a problem with that. He's like, really? He's like, no. What are you going to do? Offer them breakfast in the morning? Like, I don't know. When he proposed to his fiance, she was so relieved.
Oh, no.
Oh. Through the biggest engagement party.
So, I mean, again, we're kind of taking little diversions
today.
Yeah,
but, you know.
It's fun. I have a similar issue.
Mm.
I am in the Sounds of Freedom band with my good friend Jacob, who we all know.
Yeah, I love Jacob.
That's a straight boy on the floor.
Jacob, our straight boy on the floor, he might be a little uncomfortable being in the Sounds of Freedom band with me because it is a gay concert band now. It's formerly a marching band, but now it's a concert band for the moment.
Wow.
And it's only because I think he already not suffers, but he gets a lot of the, you know, oh, you're gay. And especially I feel bad because, like, we're really good friends and I don't ever want that to be like, you know, like making people think, oh, well, he hangs out with Brian. He must be gay. And it's like, that's
well,
so
you
unfair,
know,
you know?
This is why homophobia needs to be stamped out, because it's not just people who are gay that are affected. It's people who are perceived as gay.
Yes.
who are affected.
Because I have known some effeminate men in my life.
Very effeminate men.
Who are not gay. They love the vagina.
How much we have tried.
I know. I mean, it's like, I don't care. I really don't. I don't care. But, I mean, at the same time, I have had guys who they say, oh, no, I'm straight. I'm straight. Blah, blah, blah. I'm straight. And I'm just like, okay. I believe you. I will believe you if you tell me you're straight. Yeah. So you put your dick in my mouth. Then I will say, okay, well, maybe.
So,
maybe.
Got that, guys? That's how you prove it.
Yeah. Well, no, but I have had many, many friends of mine who, over the years, they come out to me because they feel like I'm someone they can come out to and you know, whatever. And they do. And I'm like, okay, fine. And so it's like, I don't care either way. I don't. But I feel like that stigma shouldn't be there. You know, when you hang out with someone who's gay, it just shouldn't be there. You should be able to have friends and make associations and participate in, like, the marching band, the concert band. We don't – it's not just gay. It really isn't. We rehearse at Parliament House. This is true. But, you know, that's because we need
have
the space.
Have a drink afterwards. Drink
well, yeah. I mean,
oh, you see, and like then why don't you just laying by the pool? You know, tell him to take the walk upstairs.
Exactly. Get a room. I mean, you know.
His trombone.
But I mean, I have to agree. My roommate, who is a wonderful friend of me and my husband, is straight.
Exactly. He's
super
he is straight, super straight, but he loves us, you know, to death.
Right. Like, I love Logan. Logan is so great.
And he's so sexy.
He's so sexy.
No offense, Batman. I love you dearly, but if Logan said.
I will say this. I love him like an older cousin or an uncle.
This is how you justify everything.
I swear to Christ, if he ever says, I'll sleep with you if you kill my roommates, you'd be dead in the ditch. You'd be dead in the ditch. Wait a minute.
Oh, Lord.
Jared, do you have something to say?
No, not really. Well, then
here comes my surprise segment that I'm going to start.
Oh, boy. Watch
it's
out.
Called hashtag Oh Snap. Where I talk about things.
Again?
That, you know,
more?
Maybe, shut up. That maybe have pissed me
you
off.
You know, Eric, you're totally right about this. When
I
we
told
don't have,
you.
When the question is not here, it's like the counterweight.
Oral is like, I'm free. Free.
Exactly. Well, I'm entertaining the listeners. Now, it has come to my attention. And it makes sense of mm-hmm. what we're talking about, which is gay bullying.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap. Hashtag oh, snap. So, I was hanging out with some friends. And we were talking, and their roommate is gay.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, you know I'm talking about you and your roommate.
Oh, they listen.
So, yeah. Oh, nice. My friend, he's really great, has a husband. They tied the knot.
Mm-hmm.
Their roommate grew up Baptist, Southern Baptist, just like I did.
Just like I did.
And he has been in the closet not only to his family, but at work.
Uh-oh.
How they don't know is beyond me.
They probably do.
Because they do know.
They probably,
he's very effeminate.
Oh,
he's very
course.
Flaming, which I don't have a problem with because, you know, hello. But,
Flame on.
Flame on. So what ended up happening is that he's got three brothers. His youngest brother came out of the closet. The oldest brother in the family has gone ballistic and is, like, the little brother is just beside himself. And the reason why he came out is because he has a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh, well, that's really great. So the middle brother is talking to him. It's like, well, you know, it's okay. I don't have a problem with it. You know, my roommates are gay and they got married and didn't come out to his little brother.
Oh. Wow.
So his little brother is taking the brunt of all of this and he has remained in the closet. Now, here's the thing. I can understand if you're, you know, 16, 17, you know for a fact that your family's going to boot you out.
Yeah, sure.
It's going to be ugly.
Yep.
I understand remaining in the closet.
How old is he?
Past 21, 22, 23.
And the younger brother's how old is the younger brother?
I don't know.
And is he dependent on his family at all?
No.
Okay, so he's completely financially independent.
He's completely financially independent. Mm-hmm. He's a grown-ass man
mm-hmm.
who hasn't lived at home in years.
That's terrible. That's horrible.
I mean,
and you know, here's the no. This is where you have to draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
It's the little red hen approach, and I've told you this before. I don't like sleeping with closeted people.
Right.
Closeted people who are closeted for no damn reason. I said I don't like to. I didn't say I didn't. I'm working on it, ladies and gentlemen. It's a struggle.
Oh.
But I don't.
Sure, sure. You don't want to enable that.
Exactly.
I understand.
We're enablers. I don't mind younger kids being in the closet for reasons like they're financially dependent on the family.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
But at a certain point, you need to come out.
Yeah.
You need to come out. Right. We're not saying it's a bed of roses. No. It's not easy.
It's not easy.
But
when you got
better.
Strength in numbers.
Exactly.
Hello.
Yes.
You know, for every person who comes out, the world is a better place.
Well, now, the only thing I can counterpoint this with is it could be, and I totally understand this, he could see that the strain on his family is such that he doesn't want to add to it.
No.
Well, at least going to his brother.
This is a recent development. He did not come out for years.
Well, okay, yeah.
And he's one of the biggest in the community.
Really? And how does his parents not know?
Because they don't live in the
But
area.
It gets back. It got back in my... I came out to a person in marching band, okay? It went back to my high school and to my parents in a matter of weeks. So I don't know how you keep that shit anymore.
What I will say to end hashtag OSNAP, which will make an appearance on multiple podcasts in the Twitter feed.
All right.
If you are financially dependent on your family... and you are under the age of 18.
There is a Zebra Coalition you can go to for help.
Yes. If you desperately need to come out. If it's for your well-being, then come out and there are people who will help you. The community doesn't just want to sleep with you. Sometimes they want to help you. Afterwards they want to sleep with you, but that shouldn't deter you. But then come out or don't come out, depending on your situation.
Yeah.
But if you're a grown-ass man or woman, enjoy sleeping with the same sex. That goes to you two lesbians. Fuck you. Fuck you to hell. I ain't sleeping with you, and I am going to create a coalition to help you come out because it's good for you.
All right, you should
hashtag
do that.
#OSNAP.
All right,
so where are you? I was going to say, are you ousting all the discreet people now?
Yes. Fuck them.
The ones that don't listen?
Wait. What do you mean by discreet?
The ones that aren't out yet.
Oh, okay. The closet cases.
The downloads.
All right. Well, let's move on. I mean, that's great. We should have a coalition for that. Yeah. And we should encourage
Don't we have Come Out With Pride? Hello, people.
Exactly. So October is his deadline.
Yeah.
Pass that on. I did want to mention real quick, because we talked about John Carter. Rich Ross is the...
I thought that was Rick Ross.
Who's Rick Ross?
He's a rapper. I don't know.
Oh, no. Rich Ross, Hollywood's first, quote unquote, first gay studio chairman for Disney. Quit or was resigned or was fired basically because of
the movie bombed.
John Carter, and I think a couple other things, but I mean, big wig in Hollywood, gay, had to quit because of a hot, awesome movie that was great.
Great. That was a shame that nobody saw it. I loved it. I think it'll do well
in the course of time. On
I think the videos and the Blu-rays, yes, it'll do well.
And again, I have to plug this, and I do because we're not talking about comics, but if you like the movie, there's a sequel, many sequels actually, but they're adapting it in Marvel Comics. This is The Gods of Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Ramon Perez, who is hot.
Yes.
Very attractive man. He actually listened to the Comic Book Bears thing where I basically said that he is hot and that I would stalk him at a con. He listened to it.
Oh, God.
And commented. And he said something like, yeah, I listened to it, and all I did was smile. And I'm just like, oh, God.
Yeah. Just like if Phil Jimenez ever listened.
Oh, no. There'll be a bloody war.
Listen. I love Phil Jimenez's art. But if I had to pick, and I don't think I ever will have
to. See, I don't know what he looks like this.
You need to look up Ramon Perez.
Excuse me.
Hot daddy.
It's Google.
He is bearish, but not too bearish. No, and his art. You guys saw my background. My background on my computer
is
some of his art. And he did Tale of Sand and Gods of Mars. Great. He's going to be huge. I mean, he's already huge. I'll pull him up
here. Ramon Perez.
I had to mention that. Let's move on to some gaming stuff.
Oh my!
It's not the best. It's definitely, I think, my favorite picture. But yeah,
that's pretty.
I've seen a picture of him. Yeah, he's adorable.
If Aaron ever could get him at the store, please. And
no, see, there are things.
I will do what I need to do. What the hell is that?
Can you just see him walking in and then click?
us killing each other. Literally, like, you take a club.
Bitch is mine. Exactly. Get in fucking line. All right, so let's move on.
Whose store is he coming to? You can just watch, Brian.
Sorry. Did anybody play Journey for the PS3?
Nope.
Never heard of it.
I think this is something that maybe Q would like to talk about in a
skip
future.
Over.
So next.
We'll come back to that.
For him. That's you and Q2 moving on.
No. I will talk about this. This is where my dark confession is. Diablo 3. Anyone?
I want to play it, but...
Open beta last weekend from when we're recording, and I had friends play it. They said it's a lot like Diablo 2.
Okay.
But prettier.
But what turns me off about Diablo 3 is that you have to have internet access to play
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah, it's so all...
That's a deal breaker for me.
Is it? Okay, well then, I don't know. I have it. And in Secret World, what the hell is Secret World?
Secret World, for those who don't know, I've been a huge Funcom fanboy since I played Anarchy Online in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been one of their secret projects for I don't know how many years, and
it's been a secret.
It's been a secret. Yeah.
Okay.
Just but they started this ad campaign back in 2010, where they would send like these cryptic emails to people who are like Funcom customers,
right?
Where it would just be like, well, who the hell sent this? And it would be emails, photographs, all this other stuff, but it would direct you to the Secret World website,
mm-hmm.
Which the game is, it's a war between these three secret organizations, and you have the Knights Templar, you have the Illuminati, and then you have this Asian organization called the Dragon.
Okay.
But it's got a lot of like Cthulhu mythos woven into it, so...
So what kind of game is it?
It's an MMORPG.
Okay. And like, graphic-wise, I mean, is it like... Is it kind of simple graphics? No, it's really...
It's very sophisticated.
Okay.
Funcom has always been very good, sophisticated graphics. Their programming has been known for its Swiss cheese programming, as I used to call it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've had a lot of glitches and stuff like
that.
Oh,
okay.
So, what's been interesting about the game is that it's going more towards, instead of defined class structures, and like in previous RPGs, this is more of you get to level up what skills you want to have.
Okay, so like what kind of classes?
There are no classes.
Oh, okay.
You just get whatever skills you want.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So if you want to be a tank that can shoot fireballs, then you can be a tank and shoot
so
fireballs.
They decouple the idea of skills from classes,
yes.
So you can do whatever. Okay, yes. I got you. Well, that's I like that a lot because there are many times when I'm playing an MMO where I'm like, I really like this class because I like the way it looks,
mm-hmm.
but I don't really care about the powers it has. I want this other power.
Yeah.
So I like to be able to mix and match.
Yeah, for me, I like to be able to deal damage, but still like assist my teammates. So if I want to heal somebody, I want to heal
right.
somebody. If I want to shoot fireballs at something, I want to shoot fireballs at something. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, it's nice to have that kind of flexibility.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Old Republic.
Okay.
And I do so not because Q's not here for this. He stopped playing, so I'm the only one still playing Old Republic. But I want to mention this thing I've been doing because it's kind of. It's a confession.
Naughty.
Okay. So, do you guys know what RP is?
Role playing. Yes.
Okay. Have you guys ever RP'd in a guild or
I have yes.
in a relationship? I have.
No. That I understand. Oral. Maybe he has some experience in this. Well, Jared, you have some experience.
I have role played. Yes.
So when people say they want to RP on an MMO.
Mm-hmm.
What has been your experience with this? Like, what'd you do?
Well, personally, it's usually been I have a specific story that I've woven into whatever like the main story is for the actual game,
right?
And we just have like this like secret, part of it. In games that I have played, there have been guilds that somehow got involved in the community,
mm-hmm.
as far as the game community, and they actually got woven into the actual main story.
That's cool.
Part. When I played Anarchy Online, I was part of the Disciples of Job, and Job had not been released in Anarchy Online until Shadowlands came out,
mm-hmm.
and that was a big deal then. But later on, all the guilds that stayed in Anarchy Online as the years passed on, they got named after like certain items you could wear in the game. So
oh, Oh, well, that's cool. I liked how that evolved. Yeah. So let me just tell you, I'm in an RP guild on Old Republic. Okay. I did this because my original gay guild, Republic Centurions, kind of fell apart. People just left. And that
cat fight.
Did they lip sync for their lives?
Much like everything else, it just kind of dissolved. Like, people just kind of left and lost interest, whatever. So a couple of the people who I knew from that guild, they joined this other guild called Horizon's Edge. And Horizon's Edge is a role-playing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Guild for gay and lesbians. So I, of course, was like, well, I'll join them. And it took me a while. I've just pushed it off because they're
Are you cyber cheating on Patrick?
No. I will tell you. Okay, I will reveal my secrets in the course of time.
You're a lesbian.
Well, no. So I finally joined after going through this kind of interesting application on their little forum.
Hazing ritual.
No. I'm used to that. I know what that's like.
Dick pics, yes.
No. So I hadn't RP'd. I'd been in this guild for a little while, and I was kind of like, well, okay. And they talk about RPing. I'm like, oh, I'm an RP virgin. And like, oh, well, you should definitely come.
Was this out of character chat?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. The guild chat's usually out of character chat. We're talking about whatever. But so I was like, all right, yeah, I'll come check this out. I've been leveling. I'm at level 47 and a half. I'm like almost there. I'm almost 50. So close. And I was really excited about that. And I was like, all right, cool. I'll come check it out. I have no idea what to expect. So I go to this bar, Cantina in Old Republic speak, and on Tython, which is the Jedi homeworld. And I was like, okay, cool. And I see a couple of the people from the guild there. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I know so-and-so and so-and-so, whatever. From the guild, of course. In game, I don't know them. So I'm like, oh, hi, I'm Hyperion. I'm a Jedi
I'm
Shadow.
I'm just picturing him coming up and slapping Brian in the face.
Well, I just didn't know. So, like, what I guess the scenario was, this one guy was, like, kind of the little slut sort of, you know, twink Jedi. And he saunters into the bar. And there's this kind of bigger, burlier guy hanging out there. And they're both at the bar, and they're flirting, and they're talking, and they're flirting, and I'm just kind of like, okay, so I start of saying, hey, you know, I mean, it's this awkward situation as is, because even at a gay bar, I'm awkward, and I don't like going up to bars and talking to people. So it's like, why am I role-playing this? In real life, I don't like this. So I kind of come up to them, and at some point, I made a comment like, oh, based on all the heat of their glares, I take off my robe. So I'm shirtless because you have a skirt, you know, that lower part is separate. So you have I'm shirtless, and I'm a green alien, Melandrian. I forgot the name of the alien race. But anyway, so, and I have white hair, of course. So I'm standing there shirtless, and I'm just like, hey, check me out, you know, and I don't really know where this is going because I don't know what to expect with all this. And they just keep flirting, and they sort of have me sort of involved, but not really. And so basically for about an hour, I stood there watching these guys flirt with each other. And I was like, wow, this is the lamest thing I've ever seen.
Cool story, bro.
It gets better, though, because unlike, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I thought, okay, well, I'll try it again. Maybe it's different, you know, every time, blah, blah, blah. So I last night, very, very recently, last night I was on, and they're like, oh, we're going to RP again. I said, oh, all right. What's the scenario this time? I asked explicitly what the scenario is up front. And they're like, oh, well, there's this, like, young, lost Jedi boy who's, like, 14, 15, street urchin, blah, blah, blah. And he's being wanted by all these bounty hunters, whatever's class appropriate. That's what they said. And I'm a Jedi, so I'm like, well, the council has sent me to find this whatever person.
Mm-hmm.
So I meet another Jedi Master on Coruscant, the Jedi or the Republic homeworld, and I have to go off and find this guy. Of course, we're in a party together, so I know where he is. So we just talk a little, do a little. Oh, the council sent me. I'm so and so. We do all that crap, and then I go off and find them, and I find them, and then there's this Redskin Jedi hanging out there, and they're all just kind of standing there, and I'm like, oh, well, what's going on? The council sent me, and basically, that was less flirting. But, like...
Oh, my God, you did a Star Wars gangbang.
No. That's exactly. you can go back to the other people's ships. In fact, that was even suggested in the other thing. No, nothing sexual happened.
What the hell is this game?
This is just all Republic.
Continue.
The Redskin Jedi is like, oh, I'm not with the council. I'm my own person. And basically proceeds to... throw his lightsaber over to this kid to gain his trust and take off his shirt as well.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
So I think his pants too, actually, because we made a comment later. They're like, you know, you are red, like you have like a red bodysuit because the red skinned alien is a Twi'lek, you know, with the tentacles or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like a whole like he had a belt, but you could see like a red seam on his crotch. So we're like, what the hell? Anyway. And yeah, he's kneeling in front of this kid.
Uh-huh.
Kneeling there.
14, correct?
In game, yes. Not in real life. But anyway, so yeah, I just don't know what to make of all this.
No,
I thought
you thought you were going to be a coalition gay Jedi
running around questing,
fighting the Sith
together.
It really turns out to be it's a cover up for Nambla.
No, there we go. No.
Or would you call it a Star Wars gangbang?
Or is it Eyes Wide Shut a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away?
There comes Nicole Kidman.
With the mask out, yeah. I'm confused. Like, when I thought role play...
You need to leave the guild.
Yes.
But they're Step nice away. People. They're so nice. And, like, I like the fact that they're a gay and lesbian guild. I don't want to leave them... But I just don't I want to understand them.
Gay and lesbian, where the lesbians come in? I didn't even mention one girl.
In real life, I think one of the guys is a woman.
Oh, the 14-year-old boy. That makes sense.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know these people in real life. One of my friends is a friend in real life, and he's the one that kind of, like, hooked me up originally with the first guild and now this guild. But he doesn't RP either at all. Like, he never does it. And he's like, yeah, why'd you do that? I said, I don't know, because I'm in an RP guild and an RP server. I thought I should give it a chance. So I don't know if you. So anyway, if you're on Old Republic and you have a great RP scenario that involves actually fighting something and not just standing around talking in the third person, I would be interested because that's, you know, a little more exciting, I think, than just standing there.
I think I need to, like, get you guys to play D&D. That way it's a little more interesting.
See, and that's the thing. I've never played D&D. I know I've really wanted to try it. And
somebody who I'm interested in and who's somewhat interested in me, I don't know, plays D&D.
Yeah?
I feel like I should learn how to play. But I've already done so much for him. I just don't know anymore. I just don't know.
Is this the guy who likes 40K, too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, God. You need to hold on to
that. Is that Warhammer?
Yeah.
Really?
No.
Okay,
no.
Jared told me to fight.
No, Jared.
Jared told me to fight.
No. If this is that same person I've heard you talk about, yeah. No.
Step away.
Step away.
Step away.
So, yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. I've been... Brian and I have been drinking.
We have had a couple drinks. You know, this is the first drink I've had in a while because I've been on antibiotics.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. No,
don't be sorry.
Are you
I'm
done
not,
with your
not,
regiment?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, okay, then fuck that thing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to a beer thing in a minute, so...
What?
Anyway.
What?
Oh, World of Beer. That's right.
Yeah, booze. We will be back very shortly and almost instantaneously on this with some
Magical
talk about comics.
Radio slash.
It feels weird without talking about comics, but know. You know we're going to do a separate segment, so we have to get used to it.
Well, it'll
Speak
all work
for yourself.
Out. It'll all work out in post production.
Can Q not be in that segment too?
I can edit him out, but I shouldn't. No, that's too much of a pain. You know, it's a pain.
Yeah, I know.
Phenomena. 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 Manamana. Do 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 do. Manamana. Do 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 do. Manamana. Do do.
We're here with Brett White of CBR and other exciting websites and different organizations. Brett, tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I'm gay, so that's...
Okay,
thing,
criteria obviously. Number one.
check.
I do sketch comedy in New York City, and I also write articles for CBR. I am part of the Upright Citizens Brigade.
Oh, UCB,
theater, or UCB,
cool.
Which is infinitely easier to say than Upright Citizens Brigade. I'm on a sketch team there. I also co-host a comic book podcast called Matt and Brett Love Comics, which is like a book club type podcast that I do with a bunch of comedians here in New York City. My co-host Matt Little, who's a stand-up, as well as an improviser, is like myself. We just get our comedian friends who don't know anything about comic books, make them read books we love, and then talk about it, and get very new and fresh perspectives from people who've never read comic books before, making them read Chris Claremont 80s X-Men and seeing what they think about it.
Oh, wow. Throw them right in the deep end, huh?
The what?
Throw them right in the deep end of the pool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we did Sandman, the issue with the serial killers convention, and I felt like the person...
Awesome.
Our guest was like, what did you make me read? Horrifying. I was like, I swear I'm not a serial killer. It's totally fine.
Have you had them read any Morrison yet?
I don't think so.
Invisibles Volume 1. You should totally, totally read that.
Will it make people think that I'm crazy?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll do it then. Great.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Now, what kind of things have you written for CBR? Just talk a little bit about that.
I was hired because when they announced Bunker... Like, the day that they announced Bunker was going to be a thing that was happening, I wrote a big post on my Tumblr about how the mixed feelings I had about Bunker, which got a lot of traction on Tumblr, which shocked me. But off of that, my friend Kyle Fegley is like one of the editors in charge of CBR, and I knew him because I used to work for Wizard magazine back in 2008.
Really?
Yeah. Which I did my time in the Wizard trenches for a year, which is what you have to call it now.
Yeah.
And he saw my Tumblr post, and I'd already tried to get in touch with him like a month earlier. Like, can I write for CBR? And that post was like, oh, this is great. We have, I don't even know if they have any gay people on staff, but it was pretty much like, oh, it would be nice to have a gay comic book fan to actually write about these things.
So you were the only one in the village.
So I kind of just, I was hired to just write that article about Bunker. And then from there, I've never been called, I don't have like the gay beat or anything, but I tend to just only end up writing gay issues for CBR. Gay issues and X-Men, which are also
or gay issues
thing.
In general.
Yeah, yeah. Close enough.
And I love Bunker because Bunker looks like me.
I don't think I've read Bunker. When was that published? That was
Titans. It was like
Teen Titans. Just recently. Yeah. He's the gay one. I love him. He looks just like me.
I keep thinking he's called something else, like Blockbuster.
Gay boy.
Gay boy. He's Fabuloso, hadn't you heard?
Yeah. And I felt actually like the whole experience really opened my mind because I am like a schlubby bearded. Well, I have a mustache right now, so not bearded anymore. I talk about my mustache a lot for some reason. But I was stupidly narrow-mindedly like, why are they like Bunker doesn't look like me, so he shouldn't exist. And then I got all these responses on Tumblr of like, I'm so glad Bunker exists because he does look like me. And then I was like, oh, that's right. Like, exactly. Like, it's great that Bunker represents every type of, gay person. And then also the fact that in Bunker's first appearance, he's not even mentioned as being gay, which was my main issue, was like, if he comes on, the first thing he says is he's gay, and he immediately hits on every single member of the Teen Titans, and it's the only aspect of his character that they talk about, I would be super mad, but...
Well, he came onto the train flaming.
Yeah. He opened
super
his...
flaming.
He opened his mouth, and then the word bubble was too fiery enchilada.
But I think his first appearance has been handled great. I haven't read any of his appearances after that, though, so I have no idea what they're doing with him now.
I think, weren't you keeping up, Q? You were keeping up with Teen Titans, or no?
Yeah, kind of. Eric is all up on it.
I love Teen Titans.
Yeah?
I haven't started this whole culling thing. Have you been reading that one?
No,
I haven't.
Yeah. I have. That's the only one that I haven't read that one yet.
What's the culling again?
I don't know. It's the whole.
That's the unfortunately named DC event where people are like, "Oh well, yeah, I'm taking this title out and not getting this title."
They're culling their pull list.
Yes.
Well, it's disappointing because I'm looking at them and I loved them at the beginning of it, but now they all look like Tron, and I'm like, you know, all their costume, all the covers look very
Tron-esque.
It's not a bad
thing. I like that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they
I
all
pick it up
all
now.
The
there's one winner, reader gain another.
Exactly. You tell me something's Tron-like, I'm all over it.
But I'm all over for Bunker, so I just hang in there for Bunker.
So let's jump into the Avengers movie, which we teased at the beginning of the show. We said, you know, might have a review, and I think all of us have seen it. At least once, some people twice, some people three times.
Three times, like an idiot. it's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, let's just get that out of the way. Everybody likes it.
Oh, my God.
Yes. There's nothing wrong with the movie. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the movie.
Yeah.
We're best friends. Can we be best friends?
Yes, please. I love, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Scarlett Johansson. I don't have anything against her.
Oh, but she was badass.
She was
Black Widow.
Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch.
She, fantastic. Never had a problem with it. I thought that Joss Whedon did an amazing job with pacing. Dialogue was spot on. He brought out aspects of the characters that we as comic book readers have seen before. But maybe not everyone who hasn't read comic books doesn't know. And what actually surprised me is that everyone went to go see Avengers. Everyone did. Because it's made like $1 billion.
My mom has seen it.
But I mean, looking at my thing is how he handled the Hulk.
Yeah.
I thought the Hulk, it was the best way. It wasn't the Hulk with daddy issues in the first one. Well, I don't want to be the Hulk, Edward Norton. I think he really just handled the Hulk well as I want to help people.
Yes.
And this is what I'm here for.
The Bill
for.
Bixby Hulk.
Yeah, and that, I loved it. Love the Hulk now. Huge fan.
Hulk sucker punch Thor.
That was so good. That was so good.
That was my favorite part.
And Loki, come on.
Of the movie.
We should say there are spoilers in this if you haven't seen the movie by now. What the hell?
But okay, so here's a good Easter egg for us. So the Easter egg at the end where we find out the villain who orchestrated it all, which if you watch any of the movies and you know what the Tesseract is also called,
Cosmic Cube.
Yeah, you're fine with it.
Yeah.
My friend who I work with, she doesn't read comics at all, but she knew who the villain was.
Really?
She sent me a text. She's like, "It's such and such."
How?
I'm like,
Darkseid?
We can talk about it.
Yes.
That's what I heard.
I'm sorry.
We can spoil it.
Okay,
we're talking about it.
So Thanos.
She knows.
I thought it was a purple scroll. No, I thought it was Baron Zemo.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Like, I know people thought it was a Super Skrull, which was sort of made sense because of the, you know, but they who didn't know.
Chitauri are Skrulls, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
But when the lines to do such and such is to court death, then that's totally like, you know, well, he loves death.
Apparently, my nephew, who is 10 years old, my sister, who's 12 years old than me, so 39, saw the movie, didn't know who it was, turned to my 10-year-old nephew, and he was like, "It's Thanos, duh."
Duh.
Nice. Awesome.
What? Like, I guess Thanos is on Superhero Squad or something.
Oh, yes, he is. That's it. There you go.
And did you guys, I doubt anyone's reading it, but the Avengers Assemble title that was featuring the Zodiac as villains, and the third issue, guess who is the mastermind behind the Zodiac
Thanos?
Is Thanos.
See, I'm sorry, but that title, I read the first, it's terrible. It's not good. So low-hanging fruit. Like, I don't even want to read Thanos in that because it's just...
Yeah, and it's Bendis too.
I hope they do.
Been writing Avengers
too.
For years, and he's just not doing a good job.
Bendis is shooting for the cheap seats for that one. I think he's really going for mass appeal.
It's such an obvious movie tie-in. I mean, in the third issue, the Helicarrier gets attacked and almost crashes, and then Thanos shows up.
Yeah,
so
but it's in continuity.
Just the movie, just
but, yeah.
But who's continuity?
It's in continuity.
It is.
It's in
Green
continuity,
Hulk's in there somehow too.
I'm surprised they don't have Marcus, Nick Fury Jr.
He'll show up.
Oh yeah,
give it a chance. Him
and
Coulson.
Yeah. His name is Agent Coulson. That's all I thought of when that whole thing happened with Coulson and in that. I just kept saying that into my head, you know, the Fight Club thing. What else? What were we talking about? Q and I went around for Free Comic Day, and we were talking about the Avengers a lot.
Free Comic Book Day, also known as Someone Please Save Me From All This. Make it stop.
It was horrible.
We had a couple insights. We should have recorded it.
I thought it was really interesting about how they handled, like, each character felt like they had a fair chunk of time, except Hawkeye.
Yeah, Hawkeye got short
Hawkeye was
he got the
most of it.
What'd you say?
Hawkeye was Loki's bitch for most
which
of it.
Which makes
really
sense,
Hawkeye.
Because mm-hmm. Hawkeye in the comics started as a bad guy. So in this, he starts
but
out
also,
as a bad guy.
Also, I feel like Whedon took really special care to give Hawkeye enough badass moments at the end of it. Oh, I was totally fine with it. Like, he... Also, Captain America, like having Captain America say, Hawkeye, you're going to be our eyes in the sky. He basically put Hawkeye in charge of the entire team.
Yeah.
Like, Hawkeye, like, helped out Iron Man. He knocked Loki off into Stark Tower to get the shit beat out of him by the Hulk. Like, Whedon gave Hawkeye so much to do at the end that I was like, yep, fine with him being a bitch.
You know, I will say that I knew I was going to love this movie when I like Captain America. I'm not a huge, huge fan. Like, some of my best friends are,
but his ass
but
and sweat were
his
delicious.
Ass and sweat, like,
I know
that was just so hot.
The movie loved asses.
Yeah,
But I'm sorry, Chris Hemsworth Thor looked a little tired. He had the bags under his
eyes. He had to schlep all the way from Asgard. That's why.
They said it took a lot of dark magic to get him there.
And by dark magic, he means cocaine and hookers.
I finally figured out what Point Break meant.
Oh, really?
Finally? Really?
Nice swing, Point Break. I'd never seen Point Break. I didn't know it was a movie about surfers.
Yeah.
So.
That's a little before your time, I guess.
There's a lot of little references in there. And
so quickly paced, such good dialogue. I mean, that's what Whedon... He took the dumb action movie formula, which some of, I think, Q's friends and some people I knew thought, okay, this is a predictable action
movie. Q, but no longer can call them friends.
I know, but the whole group I saw it with, like, hated it, and they were like,
oh my god,
setup joke, execute
movie
joke.
Snobs.
I'm like, that's how you do it.
Cinema
like,
snobs.
That's how you write.
Yeah. But, I mean...
I hope they're not listening to this.
They might.
They're not your friends anymore.
It elevated it to that next level of combining a dumb action film with something smart and something that played to the fan base.
Oh, yeah.
So many things, beat after beat, you're like, did you guys notice at the beginning Pegasus Project?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a cool little insider reference that, you know, I mean, it's kind of an old school reference. They don't talk about Pegasus that much anymore.
They did in Nova.
Right, in Nova. That was like years ago, right? Just little beats like that. The other thing I thought was interesting is this was very much a sequel. It was a sequel to Thor, which is the obvious sequel. But I just watched Captain America again. They set up a ton about the Tesseract and the fact that these weapons are based on that. So much with that in that movie, too. So really, this is like that third... I mean, Iron Man 2 to some extent, but this is really that third of the proper Avengers sort of movies.
It's even crazier like that Joss Whedon essentially made a sequel to so many movies because, I mean, Hulk references Destroying Harlem. Even like Iron Man's subtle, like, don't hand me things... which is such a little bit from Iron Man and Iron Man 2 that Justin was like, yeah, we're going to do the don't like being handed things bit, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that. It made it feel more like a cohesive universe.
Yes.
Agreed. Well,
and that's what they've built is this, I mean, and it, of course it's going to be Marvel that does this. They built this cohesive movie universe that they can keep building on now. They're guaranteed to get another Avengers sequel. They're definitely
it's already been announced. Yeah.
The Hulk movie, they might even do a Hulk movie because I guess he signed on for like
six movies.
With me.
Yeah, I mean, as Ruffalo?
He was great.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's hot.
All right, calm down. Here we go.
He's always angry.
What?
His eyes just started twirling.
Damn it.
Yes. I've been searching Tumblr for those Ruffalo? Naked Mark Ruffalo gifts, and no one has put them up yet.
Challenge accepted?
Yeah.
You gotta do it? Because if you don't... what else? I don't know.
One I found funny. Who do you think had the most screen time?
Black
Loki,
Widow.
Probably, right?
Oh, maybe.
No, I'm in the Avengers.
Black Widow.
No.
No?
No. It's Captain America. Number two was Iron Man, and number three was Black Widow. Could you believe that?
Huh.
Black, that makes sense.
Well, Thor was so tired.
Short. I feel like it took me a while, but I realized like Thor isn't in it that much.
No.
He's in it enough. Like they give him enough good lines where you don't really notice it. But also, like of the six Avengers, five of them have very clear arcs that they create character that they complete character wise. And Thor kind of doesn't really have a character arc. He starts out the same and ends the same.
Well, because his entire movie was about his story arc.
Exactly. Yeah. He's the only one of all the Avengers that actually went through a character arc already. Like. Iron Man was the same selfish jerk he was at the end of Iron Man 2 that he was at the beginning of Iron Man 1. Like, he learned a little bit, but not much.
Did you like that he's twirling his hammer now and using that to launch himself out? Because wasn't that a big criticism of the first film? He didn't do that.
Yeah, he did it.
I thought that was a thing.
At the first battle, when he went through that giant thing's mouth.
Okay. Right. I thought I remember that being criticism.
Well, one of my friends actually had, he didn't like Thor. Of all the Marvel movies, he just didn't like Thor. And his big issue was that this was kind of like Thor 2.
Yeah.
And then Loki was back as the villain and Thor was there and they were talking and they're, you know, Shakespeare in the Park, you know, dialogue.
That was so great.
And it didn't, you know, it was just more of that. And that really didn't go anywhere new.
No.
No, well, it was him dealing with it and then showing what we, the S.H.I.E.L.D., and how we reacted to Thor appearing.
No. Yeah. Oh, I will say this. I thought Maria Hill could have been better cast. I'm not going to lie.
Well, this is when she was Nick Fury's bitch,
right? Yeah. This is before she took over with Norman Osborn.
Oh, right. But even so, I just didn't get the feeling of her from the comics where she is a real badass bitch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's much less that in this movie, and so she could grow
because
into that
role.
But
we had Black Widow.
True.
She is just Black Widow.
Even have Maria Hill in this film other than for fan service?
Fan service.
She really didn't have an arc. She barely is in it.
Support characters, you know.
Yeah, I just felt like
Also, like, they needed more women because there was only one woman in these terms.
This is true.
Which is my big beef. It's like Joss Whedon.
No, Pepper. Pepper was there.
She was there for a second, but I would have loved to see Wasp.
And her Daisy Dukes, yes.
Wasp. I was very upset that there was no Wasp, not even a mention of Wasp and Ant-Man.
Remember when Ava Longoria was spotted reading all those Avengers books like years ago, and everyone was like, Ava Longoria is going to be the Wasp.
Oh, I thought the headline was Ava Longoria can read. Sorry, Eva.
Avengers, fantastic. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay.
Moving on. So we got some gay news, and one of the things we're going to talk about the most, or not the most, but it's certainly big, is the fact that North Star is finally tying the knot.
Lucky bitch.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
Okay, I have a question. Didn't the boyfriend die in Alpha Flight?
No, he lived.
He lived?
I stopped reading after he died.
I was like, I don't care.
We have it on good authority that it's going to happen. So, and putting the pieces together, Marvel announced there's going to be a wedding, and I think in that book even, and it's
I think the next issue.
Only make a big deal about it if it was a gay wedding, because otherwise it's just people are getting married.
It's in the month of June, and gay pride,
and they had Obama make that announcement to give them some pre press.
Well, Disney has that power. Look, Obama, this is what you
now
do.
That Obama's cool with it. Really, there's no excuse.
You know, the only thing that I have a problem with is that it's an Astonishing action.
I know that book has not been good since Whedon left. Even Warren Ellis' stuff was like, eh.
Oh, that was terrible.
Oh, it was better than Daniel Way's stuff.
I didn't even read Daniel Way's monster.
Now, I've only read the first issue of Marjorie. Is that her
name?
Marjorie Liu.
I mean, is it okay?
I like it fine. I really love the cast in it. I mean, for some reason, I've become very in tune with, like sexual orientation diversity, ethnic diversity, and I love the fact that there's, like, a lesbian and a gay man. Dr. Reyes is in it, who is Puerto Rican.
Who's the lesbian?
Karma. Karma's a main cast member.
I didn't know she's a lesbian.
Karma's a lesbian?
Did not know. Now, they do play flip back and forth a lot.
Like, lesbians, at any given moment.
Has-been today, lesbian tomorrow.
John Francis Moore did that in X-Force number 75 back in 97, I think.
Oh, wow.
Well, she reappeared and had, like, shaved head with, like, pink hair. And was hanging out with, like, a whole bunch of, like, women from a film school. And it was very much implied she's a lesbian.
Wow. Nice.
But it was 1997, so they couldn't actually say it.
Was she doing a documentary for Lilith?
The Lilith era?
Yeah. It was very much in the Lilith Fair era. She looked like she was on tour with Sarah McLachlan. It was totally fine.
Now she's got her leg chopped off, so.
Another big news item that is kind of shocking is the Before Watchmen preview and the subsequent reaction. Now, this is in most of the DC books, they have a 2-page spread, and it's all the Watchmen characters and all the books that have. And this is big for several reasons. One, because it's, you know, Watchmen, everybody knows Watchmen. And two, it's big because this is one of the first creator owned titles that DC is kind of going, yeah, well, we kind of still own it, so we're going to make sequels, even though they haven't gotten permission to do that.
He's crazy.
Who? Alan Moore? Get out of here.
He's crazy.
He talks to Snake Guy. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Have you noticed that the old Alan Moore stuff just sits on a pedestal? The new Alan Moore stuff, you're like, what the
Listen, you leave Necronomicon alone.
Are you serious?
Take the fish penis.
You've never had to sell it to a 16-year-old while her mother is standing right there. And I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure? I mean, I'll sell it to you, but are you sure? Miss, have you seen it? I mean, I guess it's fine.
That's tough. Did you read that, Brett? Did you read Necronomicon?
What? No.
Neonomicon?
Neonomicon.
Comics?
It's just penises.
Avatar. What's his name? Lovecraft gone really wrong.
Gay?
Lovecraft?
No.
Alan Moore? No, he's just freaky.
He's just a wizard. He's a wizard.
Yes.
The wonderful Wizard of Oz.
The man behind the curtain.
We could probably get a lot of coverage if we out Alan Moore as gay right now, though.
That's true.
You heard it here first.
Allegedly.
I will say Alan Moore as a writer is one of the most out front of sexuality and in ways that I think is really good. So yeah. I got to give him credit for like Lost Girls, even though I thought it was gross because of the little girl sexual content. But I mean, in all of his right, Promethea and all of his more recent stuff, and even way back, he's been really out front of sexual stuff, or sexuality, I should say. So give him credit for that.
Isn't one of the Minutemen gay?
Yeah, I think they imply that too, because he's like going to punch him or something. Is that what it is?
The judge guy. The guy with the hood over his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he gets like murdered off panel.
He doesn't meet a good fate, but
no.
He's gay.
Get rid of that homo.
Yeah.
Murdered off panel.
I was going to talk about Chris Roberson leaving DC. Does anyone really have too strong a passion about that? He was a writer.
I just interviewed Chris Roberson for my podcast.
Did you?
Wow.
It was crazy because I asked him, Greg Lockhart, who was the editor on iZombie, when I wrote my first big, like, The State of Gay Comics. He was like, hey, we have a gay character in iZombie who's about to come out. Let me send you all these books. So that's how I got to be a big fan of iZombie. And I emailed Greg and was like, can I interview Chris for my podcast? He was like, sure. So Chris said yes. And then like the next day, he blew up on the internet with like his like, I'm not going to work for DC anymore. And I was like, oh my gosh. We just stumbled into interviewing the most controversial figure. And then we interviewed him. He's like super nice.
And the podcast was just an hour of crying.
Next week, I do believe.
Really? That's fantastic.
Can you give us what did he I'm not familiar with what happened. Can you shed some light?
He basically said he didn't agree with how DC was treating Alan Moore's contract. And basically this is the whole principle before Watchmen. Mm. And he just said like he tweeted after my arc on Ferrest, which was coming up, because iZombie was canceled, and he was like, after my arc on Ferrest, I will not be working for DC anymore. And then DC Media was like, well, your Ferrest arc is canceled, and you're fired.
Wow.
Like,
I quit. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It's really sad. I mean, and as a creator, I really admire him for taking that stand, because I know a lot of creators are like, I need a paycheck. I don't care. Fuck that. Yeah. Whatever. But
and it's also a shame. Like, I mean, iZombie was great because it was the first time I've ever read a comic book that actually mirrored my actual experience as a gay man with the character Spot. Because it was a kid who was in college who had a crush on girls until he met a guy and was like, wait a second, I might be gay. And then it was showing him going on his first dates and stuff, which I don't read many mainstream Marvel or DC comics that actually show a character like in the process of coming out and going on first dates. Like, usually it's adults who come out like off-pan.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I want to know, like, when did Richter realize he's gay? Like, I need to know that story. Peter David.
Yeah, Richter, Shatterstar, you know. It's like all
they
of a sudden,
came
boom.
Out during their weird interim where they weren't being in any books. They came back and they were, like, more gay than they used to be.
Yeah, although like, Batwoman is just like, look at it. Just look at it.
I have short red hair.
Well, that's... I didn't even know that about iZombie. I should have picked it up. That was drawn by Allred?
Yeah, Allred.
Oh, is great.
The one with
it's
great
gorgeous.
Were-Terrier boy.
He's the Were-Terrier. That's a great... I love that.
And there goes Brian. He's off.
I like small dogs, though.
Brian just got...
I like small dogs. I have three Pekingese. All right. Well, let's move on. We want to talk about some indie books. There's a lot of indie books we want to talk about. Let's start with Saga, which is kind of the elephant of the indie books that's in the room. Well, not literally, but I mean, this is the new space opera from Brian K. Vaughan of Why the Last Man and
Lost,
certainly.
Alcatraz.
His big return to comics after he said he was kind of leaving comics. I've read the first issue, and I actually am going to probably read the rest in trade, just because that's my, you know, whatever. But
thanks
so far,
for supporting the book while it's out. Thanks a lot.
I think that's one of those indie books it's going to keep going without my my vote.
Every so dollar counts.
Away.
Did anyone not like it, really? I should ask.
I really liked it. The first one was kind of weird with this TVs having sex.
I loved
so
it.
Much but in the weird. Second one, I really liked it because it explained them a little bit more exactly who they are and what they do. And
yeah.
So, like, a little bit better.
The art's fantastic. I forgot the artist's name.
Fiona Staples.
There you go. Great name.
I met her at WonderCon. She's really cool, yeah.
I think the first oversized issue gave you a lot to process.
Yes, 800 pages for $2.99.
But it was great. It was all of those pages for $2.99. There weren't any adverts.
Yep.
It was... Yeah. It was just, I think it was a smart move.
Immersed you in the world.
Yeah. Exactly.
It may just make all the other publishers look bad. They give you so many pages for $2.99.
And a nice quality paper.
Oh, yeah, that paper is so great. Yeah.
Similar to that, Mind the Gap, which just came out recently.
Yeah, by Jim McCann.
Gay writer Jim McCann. Yeah. Do you know Jim? You probably do. Brett.
Yeah, I've met Jim a couple times. He's great.
Yeah, I met him at our MegaCon once. I wore my pink Gay Lion Pride shirt, of course, and then our comic store buddy Aaron introducing us and being stupid about it. Anyway, like he does. Mind the Gap, kind of different. It's some people say it's like a TV show in comic book form. It has that sort
of what I heard.
Serialized feel. Art's gorgeous. I forgot the artist's name as
Rodin
well.
Rodin Esquejo.
Does covers for Morning Glories.
Yeah.
A lot of characters, very much like whodunit kind of thing, although they don't really make that like the focus point. And it's got a supernatural element.
And at the end, in the back matter, they're like, hey, by the way, this is a whodunit. We put clues in this entire book. Look at us like, whoa.
Yeah.
I did not know this was a mystery. Okay.
And, yeah. You don't get that a lot. And it makes you want to like reread it and figure it out.
Yes,
you know, keep
definitely
tabs.
Good rereading value.
I unfortunately did not get a chance to read it.
Me either.
Well, you guys are working.
It didn't. The diamond accident like didn't get it to New York. Like it didn't even arrive in my comic shop. I had to buy it digitally.
That sucks.
Oh, Diamond.
And that's another Image book that was like chock full first issue, $2.99. Great deal.
Oh, yeah.
Thief of Thieves. This is one that's famous now because AMC has picked it up.
Yeah, what's that about?
I'm a huge,
My friend said he went to the store and saw a giant advertisement for it, like this big poster board thing. Like, I didn't know they did that for comic books at like traditional stores. I was like, but I guess, the AMC's really pushing it.
Yeah.
But I only read the first issue. I didn't really like it that much. It was like a solid effort.
Yeah.
But it was just like, a thief who doesn't want to be a thief anymore. I was like,
it's kind of like Entrapment, the Thomas Crown Affair kind of feeling.
Oh, so all of the movies I didn't see?
Yes.
Okay.
Or like Parker, I'm guessing, the outfit, some of those.
I like the feel of it. It's interesting. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm trying it out. I'm going to read the first six. Because Robert Kirkman, after the sixth one, is the twist. So it's always the first story, and then the sixth one is the big twist.
Now, I thought, he's not the only writer on it, though. It's him and somebody else.
Nick Spencer.
Spencer, right? That's right.
That's what Spencer's doing. We were trying to figure out what Spencer was doing besides Morning Glories.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with it's sure as hell not Infinite Vacation.
Oh, snap.
What happened there?
We're just waiting.
Right. We're waiting
on the final
episode. That book grossed me out anyways when he raped that guy and ate his testicles.
I like Infinite Vacation.
What? Okay, we'll have to check this out.
Yeah, I like that.
I like Infinite Vacation
it's fucked up.
Another alternate parallel world, he
raped himself from a parallel world.
Are you telling me you wouldn't do that? Come on.
Well, no, have you not read it?
Come on, I would.
Infinite Vacation.
I'm going back to my Marvel hiding spot.
Infinite Vacation is like the road not taken. They've commoditized the ability to do what Sliders did, go to parallel worlds, live your life. Or just like shadow that person in your like in this parallel dimension.
Yeah, see if you were president or if you were dating
a movie star. If you were late for work that day, you could switch to an alternate reality where you were on time, or you could pay even more money and like switch to an alternate reality where you're president instead of so.
Yeah. I like to see a straight version of me.
It's different. The art is like, it's like taking an acid trip. It's very like...
Yeah, the art's weird. And
then it has like live action shots.
Yeah. Photo stuff.
It's very meta.
Yeah.
It's a meta book.
It's very meta.
It's meta. That's a DC.
That was a great look. So,
You know what? I had to use it.
I know. I've been waiting for this. It's a funny thing to say.
I got to mention Prophet. We've talked a little bit about this before. Great reinvention of a shitty-ass Liefeld property.
Is it still going? Still good?
Still going. In fact, what they did is they are jumping around. So Prophet is not like kind of like a multiverse thing, but he's like all over the universe or a galaxy or whatever. Mm. There's different John Prophets, and so they can pick up one story arc and then go to another story arc and jump around.
Interesting.
And, yeah, and the newest one, I haven't actually read yet. I need to pick that up digitally because the store I know.
We only ordered like two.
Yeah. Yeah, they totally pick up and go to some crazy out space thing.
Cool.
But yeah, lots of bugs, like a very Nausicaa stuff. Yeah.
We should mention the relaunch of Valiant Comics.
The Exo Manowar.
Exo Manowar. I actually like that first one. It wasn't.
I have a lot of those damn issues in my long boxes
from back in the day.
Everybody says that I read it, and I was like, I did too many drugs in the 90s. I don't remember this.
It was forgettable. It's a very forgettable concept and series, and so I'm interested to see what the relaunch
was. I played a video game with Iron Man and Exo Manowar.
That's what I was just about to say. Where, you know, Exo Manowar like crouches down and his arm becomes a shield. Is that something I've never read Manowar.
I mean, I don't know anything about it, but what I did read. Did anyone else read the first issue besides me?
I didn't. No.
Actually, they have another cool gimmick. They have talking covers.
What?
You scan.
You
scan the cover with your phone, and then you hear the character on the cover say something.
It's kind of like AR.
Yeah, it's like the AR ADX stuff. Has anyone tried that yet?
Yes.
It's cool.
It's awesome.
See, they don't have it for Android, and I don't want to ask my partner for his iPhone to do it. And yeah,
it's because you want to stand on principle.
Issue
and miss
one
out.
Comes to life. And then issue two, the cover of issue two and three is the same thing as issue one. Just repeated. But there's inside, there's like some artwork, and there was one where the editor for the AVX comes out and is in front of the Phoenix Force and starts telling you all about it. That was cool.
I heard
Axel
it.
Was something. It was like a Jetsons
Axel.
Editor in chief.
Okay.
Calm down.
Comics. Calm the hell down.
Sorry,
woman.
What were you saying, Brett? I was educating Eric.
I'll bitch
like
slap you.
Crazy thing where like this person is now walking across my comic book.
Yeah, exactly.
A futuristic thing that I didn't think we'd ever get to.
So, in the line of indie books, there are two Hickman titles now that are both ongoing and independent. There is the Manhattan Projects, and there is Secret.
I read Secret. I didn't read Manhattan.
That's creepy.
Manhattan Projects is awesome because I love historical fiction, and it's got freaking Oppenheimer and Einstein and Feynman. All famous from that era.
Is Nikola Tesla in it?
No.
Isn't he the one who did S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes.
So isn't it like
It's kind of the same, similar idea, but it's like, what if the Manhattan Project wasn't just the bomb, but all this other crazy shit? And it has like Oppenheimer as like a guy with multiple personalities, and Feynman is a badass. Like, he flies in to, you know, to take Von Braun, one of the Nazi scientists who did rockets, you know? All this cool stuff. Totally fictional, but
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, I like it.
And then Nick Pitar, I think, who did one of his previous series,
Red Wing,
he's doing the art. Great looking, kind of very Frank Quitely sort of.
Yeah, very Frank Quitely.
Weird.
Yeah.
And then Secret's like kind of talking heads a lot, but it's intrigue. Like, this company sets people up so that they have to hire them to do their security because they basically hack them.
That's an awesome. I thought that was sort of a weak twist in line with Thief of Thieves. Like, neither of those really hooked me. But
It's Hickman, so I'm going to fucking stay with it. I worship at the altar.
There's just no scenes in space, which really bothered me from Hickman.
He does like that a lot. So that's all the indie stuff. Unless, Brett, do you have any indie books you want to mention?
I guess Vertigo is not that indie. In my brain, it's indie.
Did you read Dead Guardians?
No, I'm reading Saucer Country, which I am in love with.
Really? I love Cornell a lot. I had a hard time with this just because I was kind of like, well, it's interesting. It's the political thing, but the alien thing is just kind of, to me...
I'm stupidly obsessed with like UFOs and aliens and whatnot. I have the Unsolved Mysteries DVD box set.
Nice!
UFOs. So,
well, that
I'm
explains
like, oh, you're, aliens? Awesome.
Lost
totally
Time? I'm so there. It's like X-Files meets Veep. I mean, I don't know. That's just...
Really?
I might go
really?
Back.
Really? I think you're the first and only person to have ever made that juxtaposition.
Oral, I wasn't going to judge. I shut up.
Then I can coin that, baby. Quote me on the cover. You if you're listening...
He's responsible
Vertigo,
for it. Get him!
Quote me on the cover. I don't care. So... let's dig into some Marvel, since, Brett, you said you have a soft spot in Marvel.
Or a sickness. I don't know.
AVX, terrible. Of course, is the big event right now. We've already talked a little bit about the AVR component. They're up to issue 3 as of our recording.
Mm-hmm.
So far, big shit's happened, but mostly it's just the setup. We know the X-Men obviously are fighting the Avengers. That's the obvious part. And currently, I guess what? The Avengers are winning, sort of, because the X-Men are on the run.
Well, right. Yeah, exactly.
Every
number three.
Ooh, showdown even... they've had, the Avengers have beat the X-Men so far. Yeah. So I guess the Avengers are winning.
Well, I guess once Phoenix shows up, then...
did you see the tease? There's a tease like of a cover for previews.
Can I say it?
Okay, go ahead.
No more Avengers.
Well, there's that, but I'm talking about the picture.
Yeah.
And it's the world has turned to an X.
Going through.
Well, the picture I saw, and this was even more exciting, is Captain America being like possessed or destroyed or something by the Phoenix. That was kind of huge.
Well, it's I read 4 also.
Yeah. Well, see, I haven't. So keep your mouth shut.
Some people.
Well, I would say it's 12 issues long.
Yeah. But it's
two a month,
so it's not that
bad. Yeah, at the end of 4, it says it's 3 weeks till the next one, so I don't really know.
Oh, they have a skip week.
Oh, is there that sort of extra week? I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. But I feel like not much has happened. I'm really excited to see what's going to happen, but not much ground has been covered.
I like the Wolverine versus X-Men tie-ins. Those are good.
They've
so
been
far.
Amazing. Yes. Yeah, I mean, so Aaron's. Good. I loved the issue that just came out on Wednesday.
Oh my god, that was so good.
Jason Aaron is killing that. Although his issue, I thought, was a little too old-timey, comic booky, sort of, you know, Kirby-esque writing, you know.
But said you love Kirby.
I like Kirby's art. His writing could be better. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, that's a big hang-up, actually, that I've had about it. Is that the main AVX title is pretty weak, but all the supporting titles where they're actually talking about their decisions and why they're going on the sides they are, and like all that friction and that
did
drama.
Did you read Secret Avengers?
Oh, because that was terrible. But I'm loving New Avengers with the whole Iron Fist.
I do like that.
First coming to Earth.
I hated it. Oh man.
Oh, really? I'm on your side, Brad. I didn't
do much of a retcon.
I was like, what?
I just hate the fact that I paid $4 to basically read a flashback that amounted to there was an Iron Fist who was a Phoenix. Like, it was a sentence. Like, story, dear God.
The only thing I didn't like, I'm like, why do you look like Jean Grey?
It's sort of like...
Force has a type.
Yeah, exactly.
Really,
it's that this has all happened before kind of thing, and where redheaded women pop up and bring the Phoenix to them.
Redheaded Chinese women? Is that...
She's not Asian.
No, she's not Asian.
No.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah, of course.
You know what show did that? Lex, and look what happened to it. Look what happened. We got movies. We got a series. Oh, we barely made it.
I do like the fact that they tied in the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff that Hickman did with... it's not Isaac Newton. Yeah. Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, that he had to show up and deal with the Phoenix Force.
That's pretty cool. But, Hickman thing.
He didn't do anything.
No, he just kind of stood there.
Big machine. That was something.
Did we like the Avengers stuff with the Simonson? I actually want to like Simonson a lot more than I like Simonson. His art, you know?
It's weird seeing old artists with new coloring.
Yeah.
That's
probably a big part of it, I think.
It's really strange. It's like I'm like going through, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, it's not doing it for me. Plus, it wasn't an AVX story. It was kind of like no, we're still dealing with this fucking Norman Osborn crap that I'm so sick of.
I dropped most all the Avengers books when they started doing the Dark Avengers again.
You were smart.
Story I read 2 years ago.
So smart.
Thunderbolts is leaving and Dark Avengers is doing
which is a shame.
That upsets me so much.
Thunderbolts is a great series. Such
okay,
great
are you
who is
Thunderbolts?
I've read some of them.
All right, who is Dark Scarlet Witch outside of Oral? But who is Dark Scarlet Witch? That's supposed to be one of the Dark Avengers. Well, it's Dark Scarlet Witch. That's how it's advertised.
I don't
who
know.
Is that?
Yeah.
Do we know?
Superior, I think.
No. Is it really? That could be. She's not dark, though.
It just says Dark Scarlet Witch. I'm like, who the hell is Dark Scarlet Witch?
I don't know. I guess the team got a shake-up.
It's totally different.
The teaser I've seen has, like, that cyborg Thor from Civil War, Scar, and then
a different lineup. It's the like lineup a six arms just Venom in Bendis's Avengers run.
Yeah, yeah. And
of the interesting characters like Bullseye or Doc, like even Doc, and like those are interesting characters I care about. These are all like weird.
Jeff Parker is still writing it though, because he did Thunderbolts.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is
Jeff Parker is amazing.
There's
his
hope.
Thunderbolts
be good.
Is ridiculous. They've been like traveling through time and like going through all these different eras, and then they just came back almost to the present and wound up fighting the original Thunderbolts team. And that's what's happening right now.
That's pretty cool.
It's amazing.
So amazing. They fight for a little bit. Spoiler, they fight for a little bit. And then when the Thunderbolts realize, wait, these Thunderbolts are from the future. Well, you guys are from the past. like, well, we're going to do something, and then turn the page, and it's like, we're getting drunk.
That's true. They have, like, a party, and then one of them accidentally kills himself. spoiler, giant spoiler.
So, did anybody read the Spider-Man Daredevil Punisher crossover?
I heard it was good.
I read the Daredevil issue too, and I was like, wait, what? Oh, this is that crossover?
I think the first two parts, the Omega effect.
Yeah. How was it?
Yeah. I didn't read the last one, but it was good. It was good.
Like, Mark Waid's great writer, like, and Rucka's good writer.
Mark Waid's been building that in Daredevil for a long time.
Yeah.
And it made sense to sort of have the Punisher in there, but not Spider-Man. Spider-Man was just there to, like, crack some jokes. But,
well, that's what he does. You know.
But it's cool. It's good. And do you see what he did? I'm not sure which issue it was, but he Daredevil was like all the you know, it's the five mega crime organizations like Hydra and AIM and stuff.
Yes, one
representative from each. They like show up and they meet and try and decide on how to take out Daredevil and get the Omega Drive back. Yep. And Daredevil just shows up and he's like, guys, I've been waiting for you to like hit me and like come and take this from me, and you're just like dilly dallying. And one of you tried and failed, by the way. And so I'm going to make an example out of him because now you're starting to piss me off. Mm-hmm. I took all of the information on that guy's organization, and they've all been arrested. They're all in prison. So unless you guys do something, make a move, you're all going to wind up like him. And he leaves, and they're like, huh? And they'll turn on that guy and they shoot him. They're like,
man,
we don't have to worry about him
anymore.
Can you
tell a story?
Shut up.
I will say the
ladies and gentlemen, the writer of the group.
The Daredevil story after that, much stronger, I think. What's his name on art?
Can you edit that out?
Samnee. Samnee is amazing.
Yeah, he's great.
And that was fantastic. Their art on that has always been great. But these crossovers, I'm just like, I'm tired of them. Did anybody else read Moon Knight?
Nope.
They just wrapped that up.
Nope.
Terrible.
I dropped it halfway through.
It's not bad at all.
I know, Brian. Don't care. Moon Knight is boring.
And it's
he's
done.
Boring.
He's done.
This is the thing.
Oh,
no. There's no thing.
He's crazy.
It's over.
Oh, my gosh.
Let it go.
They killed off Echo.
Bye-bye.
Who?
How did Echo die?
They killed her. I forgot who did it. I think it was Count Nefaria. He killed her. It's actually really good, and it sets up the Age of Ultron.
You know what? That's not even C-list.
Z-list
character.
Great art by
Maliv.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are missing out. So that ended. And then I have to mention, because I love the man. Actually, I love both these guys, Humphreys and Ramon Perez. Gods of Mars. I got my second issue today. I was so excited.
Yo, Humphreys is taking over Ultimate Comics Ultimates.
Yes, and I read his first issue.
The amazingly named Ultimate Comics Ultimates.
Hey, it's a great
title.
Which is
amazing.
A bitch to look up in Diamond.
Oh my God.
Tell you that. It's a bitch.
Well, they're not that many Ultimate titles, right?
Well, no.
It's only like three.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's still terrible.
Well, their Gods of Mars came out a while ago. Three should be out any second now. And it's beautiful art. Love Ramon Perez.
Yes, we know you do.
Can I mention?
Yes, we know you do.
Thank you. And he'll find.
Stop putting naked pictures on his Facebook page.
Shut up.
You can
that wasn't me, and you
now.
Can't prove it, damn it.
You can clean yourself up now.
He came to Heroes Con. Oh, anyway.
Easy.
Are there any other Marvel titles, Brett, that you think we should talk about?
Oh, geez.
I know. Putting you on the spot.
I've been really enjoying all of Hickman's FF and Fantastic Four.
Fuck yes!
Yes!
The Peter Parker Human Torch roommate issue was fantastic.
I was a comics reviewer, I would have given it a 10.
Shut up! I'm having severe...
It's so much fun. Just exactly the kind of fun that I remember having as a kid in comics. Like, it's a whole story. It's a done-in-one that ends with Annihilus on the crapper. Like,
it was absolutely perfect. Yeah.
Hickman is a god. I have not felt so strongly about a writer since Morrison. And they're both going to be at Morrison.
You know, it's funny because I've always loved the Fantastic Four as a team.
Yes.
But as a series to read, I never was a huge fan. But when Hickman came on, I'm like, okay, I kind of like this. And this last story arc, his like grand machinations, perfect.
And now he's doing all these sort of like single issues, like one in done in one.
Great.
I miss comics being like that.
I know, right?
It's getting old and nostalgic now.
All right, let's move on from Marvel.
I have reviewer's regret over that one.
I know you do. That's why I said it. So DC, let's talk about Shazam, because this is
Shazam,
the backup story in Justice League, probably the better part of the Justice League issues, because
well, it's all right, the Justice League, but okay.
Wait a minute. I just had this idea for a blaxploitation film set in in the DC universe.
Uh-huh.
And instead of saying Dynamite, you say Shazam! And it's like he's a pimp. He turns into a pimp and he's walking down and he has to fight the other pimps and the cops.
Oh my
Kickstarter
god.
Kickstarter.
It'll be completely not licensed.
By the way, I saw Kickstarter and it was for a mask, like a sleep mask, that lets you have lucid dreams and like take control of your dreams. What? By blinking little lights while you're sleeping.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, yeah.
How much it's raised. Guess how much they wanted.
How much?
$35,000. Guess how much it's actually raised.
How much?
10 times that much.
Wow.
Over $300,000.
This is the thing about Kickstarter. You hear these stories, but then so many people's projects don't go anywhere because they don't promote it. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of big successes and there's a lot of just failures. So, do we like Shazam? We like the way they're doing this?
Is it going to be the same thing like in Flashpoint?
No.
Because that's what they showed all these kids sitting there. I'm like, oh.
Well, but one of them's Mary. One of them's Freddy.
That was the same one with the group of kids.
But they're going to be like their traditional roles.
I'm afraid. I'm like, oh, God.
They're not going to fucking Care Bear stare. Or the head of a lion and do Voltron. No, I mean, it's Freddy and Mary and then this other kid. Who knows what that'll be. But
that was when I saw the kids. I was like, oh, no. Uh-oh.
And we got to
mention that.
I mean, it was interesting.
Captain Planet.
Yeah.
Captain
Planet.
I like the fact that
Billy's a
Billy's a dick.
Yeah.
Totally a dick. So I like that he's going to actually have an arc where he's not just this little innocent kid. And, oh, gee.
And this seems to be leading into the Free Comic Book Day issue, which was they had the
Trinity War.
Before they had those people who are each an embodiment of magic.
Mandora.
No, well, not those.
The three sinners, but then there's the gods.
Not the Trinity of Sin, the gods. Yeah. So like the pillars of
the
magic.
Rock of Eternity?
Yes. And they were like condemning the three people, and one of them was Pandora for opening the Pandora's box. One seemed to be Judas.
Yep. The stranger.
Stranger.
And then the last one.
I was going to ask you how you felt about that.
No, his is actually the most vague. Because
he doesn't shut up, so they shut him up. Is that it?
He was pretty cocky.
He looked like to be some sort of, I don't know, ruler or something.
He's Ozymandias.
Probably. But now he's like uber powerful now.
See, I don't personally like that as far as the question goes.
Well, we don't know what they're going to be.
And they may not go with that.
What was the question before that? Nothing.
Well, no, he was Vic Sage and he was
Renee. And then that,
yes.
I like Vic Sage and Renee.
I like up the role for the character, which I like. And I mean, that sounds interesting, even though that's not going to come out until next year.
Bunny Tutu, what is that? Chopping in the forest?
No, I want to talk about the Zeros. I'm excited about
DC has announced they're doing Zeros, and these are going to be kind of like starting final, what is it called? Zero Hour, basically.
The origin story.
Same idea, you know.
Why? Well, in September, when the 13th issue is supposed to come out.
Which is that they're replacing their normal issue that month for this, I think. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. Some writers, I'm sure, will do cool stuff. Some writers will tie in their whatever storyline. It'll be kind
of some
lame.
Of them are like, but if I have to go back to Krypton again.
Oh, God.
Listen, I know he's from Krypton, people.
You leave Action Comics alone, because let me just tell you, Black Superman of Earth 23 is fucking awesome. It is Obama Superman.
I'm going to go now, guys.
He's the president of the United States.
Yeah, what about Shawanda Wonder Woman with the big hoop earrings?
Awesome.
And the only white man was Batman.
Well, that makes sense. He's rich.
Go to hell. Go straight to hell.
Cyborg should have been the one.
Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Go straight to hell, girl.
Did you notice that Cyborg was black in that, too? Yeah. I was like, why don't they Cyborg get a white? You got to invert everything.
Can you turn a fan on here? It's getting a little...
It's just the racism.
It's the racism.
It's Brian's portal to hell.
Oh, I don't even know how to turn my fan on. What else? Earth. What else I talked about that. End of OMAC. Oh, my God. I'm so sad to see OMAC go.
Nobody else is.
Shut up. Kirby is spinning in his grave because OMAC is gone.
Let's ask our guests. Do you ever read OMAC?
I hardly know what an OMAC is.
There we go. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Shameful.
heard good things. I've heard everyone's shocked how good it is.
It was just so much fun. You
why
know?
Does it sound like he's lying?
You don't have to be nice. It was just fun. It was
New York tea.
Dumb kind of comics, but it was fun, and it was very Kirby infused, so I was excited. He's joining JLI, so he's not going anywhere. I actually listened
to all the deadbeats are going to the JLI.
No, I listened to
even Batman said it was a deadbeat tier.
I listened to Word Balloon with Liefeld, and I'm actually interested in the stuff he's writing, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Liefeld was.
Did you see Deathstroke?
Well, I'm not caring about Deathstroke. Grifter, though, because he's bringing in a lot of the Jim Lee stuff from Wildcats.
Well,
which
even
I
in
like.
Deathstroke, he brought in Zealot.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's mixing it in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he read like Zealot and Warblade. Yeah. Showed up recently. And this like 90s nostalgia person in me is like, I kind of want to check out those books.
Exactly. I'm tempted.
I don't need to know where Warblade is now. I'm good. I'm fine.
Well, people thought Pandora was Zealot because she had that weird kind of like facial stuff. And then of course the shocking turns in Animal Man Swamp Thing, which by now are less shocking because we know it all works out okay and everybody's sort of still fucked up. What is Animal Man's in the red?
Mm-hmm. He's in the underworld of the red.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
which
he's
I think
met
it's
some
cool.
guy who calls him Butterbaker.
Yeah,
Butterbaker. The shepherd. He looks like the fawn from Pan's Labyrinth.
I was thinking actually the shepherd from Sweet Tooth. Like there's Shepherd and then there's the boy with the horns.
Oh, right.
So it's kind of like an inverse of that.
I'm
loving Animal Man.
Yeah,
I never thought I would like Animal Man this much. And I've gone back and read the Grant Morrison stuff because Jeff Lemire has been so great.
Yeah.
Great stuff all around.
And then Swamp Thing tying right into all that with his crazy good turn into Swamp Thing only after he has to. And then the Abigail stuff. And then she comes out of that terribly disgusting creature that she was in.
Is everyone okay with Swamp Thing having antlers and wings?
Hell yeah.
Yes. I like it.
It looks awesome. Okay. He looks
I actually
badass.
Dropped Swamp Thing because I could appreciate how good the artwork was, but the story and the way it kept referencing sort of the pre-New 52 stuff, and it was very
really continuity heavy.
Yeah, it just was off-putting and I quit reading it.
See, I read the Alan Moore Swamp Thing, but honestly, most of it doesn't draw heavily from that other than like the Parliament of Trees and the Green actually wasn't even Alan Moore. It was somebody later. But I don't know. I thought it stand alone pretty well.
For Scott Snyder to reference how Swamp Thing has sex because I just read that issue of Alan Moore.
Isn't that fucking trippy and crazy awesome?
Oh, wait, for Alan Moore, I'm shocked.
Wait, eat my fruit. Eat my fruit.
Eat my fruit. It's gonna send you on a crazy sex trip.
Yep.
What?
Awesome.
Can I have a piece of fruit?
What? Seriously. Read Swamp Thing, and that's Alan Moore being kind of awesome, sexy, trippy stuff. And the Night of the Owls, that's taken another big step forward.
Batman goes Iron Man.
Yeah,
yeah, basically.
He's done that before.
They're both friends.
Yeah, exactly.
But the backup Alfred story.
Oh my gosh, that was really interesting.
Alfred's
dead.
Like,
yeah.
Dead, hey.
Yeah. I liked actually the Batgirl one. I don't know if anyone's reading
that. I didn't read
that
one. Oh, because there's more Commissioner. Really
yeah, it's like the commissioner racing to turn on the bat signal, then Batgirl fighting like a female owl assassin.
Talon.
Oh. Talon, yeah. And,
even the odds.
Oh, they're called Talons, aren't they?
Talons, yes.
Oh, I kept calling it like the owl or whatever. But no, it. And then Commissioner Gordon gets to the roof, and it's an owl. It's been turned into an owl signal.
Yeah,
and
that was like, kind of
shit.
Funny. But I mean, at least in Scott Snyder's Batman, it's sort of starting to reverse course, and he's going to take the fight to them now, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
Such a great book. I love Greg Capullo. I mean, my
biggest beautiful.
Thing is X-Force, and Greg Capullo's X-Force run is my favorite thing of all time, so I'm just glad to see him back.
When did he do X-Force?
When did he do X-Force?
He did X-Force issues 15 through 25 in 1993.
Oh, I have those.
I have those, too.
For Executioner song all the way through Fatal Attraction.
Oh, wow. I got to go back now because I have those and I just didn't appreciate it. I mean, I enjoyed it at
Eric,
the time.
Go back because you know it was the 90s.
The 90s.
That was a decade, right? Any other DC titles we're leaving out?
Green Lantern.
Oh,
can we talk about Green Lantern?
Oh, the friggin' Indigos.
The Secrets of the Indigos.
That was
knock.
Pretty cool.
Knock, he's knock.
There.
What? But that little.
What's the secret?
The Yoda.
I didn't get a chance to read it.
Yoda.
What's the secret? What?
No, they just go and they explain the origin of the Indigos and what Abin Sur had to do with it, what the Guardians have to do with it.
Kill these friggin' blue pieces of shit already, these Guardians. I'm so
done
with them. Ever since Geoff Johns got it, it's like time to kill them. get rid of them.
Well, that's what it's setting up to be.
Oh, I'm gonna say one spoiler, but the guy, the keeper of the Indigo light just takes the battery away, and everyone, all the Indigos lose their powers.
Yeah, that was kind of shocking.
And in addition to that, the Yellow Core has been taken down. Sinestro took down his own core. The Red Lanterns, their battery's poison. It's gone as well.
Yep. Oh, wow.
And the Blue Beetle villain is taking out the Blue Lanterns.
Oh, wow.
In the next, Guardians.
So I bet this is all the Guardians.
How is Larfleeze doing? That's what I want to know.
We've only seen him like once.
So he's hanging out there with all his stuff.
Yeah.
Making his cookies and just kind of chilling.
Whatever happens to him, I'm going to be sad. So.
Huh.
Just kill these guys. I'm dying to know what they're creating.
Because the Guardians, they're seeking out the first Green Lantern to start a new Green Lantern core.
Which, again, I thought the first Green Lantern was what's his name, but I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was Krona.
Krona, yeah.
But apparently it's not.
What other DC? If you're not reading Stormwatch and Demon Knights, you should be reading both
Stormwatch
of them.
Is so fun and gay.
Yeah. Is it still the
Midnighter? The last issue, Midnighter and Apollo, were so gay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good. I was like, honey, you don't have to kill everybody. I'm like, really?
I was really upset that Paul Cornell left the book.
I was very much too.
He was really committed to like telling their love story. Like he said that in interviews, like, I actually want to show how these characters fall in love. And I was like, oh, I want to read that.
You know, he said that, and I like his writing, but did you really feel a love story going on there?
It was a slow burn.
No, it's not even that. There's no drama to the relationship. Like they're like, oh, I like you. Oh, I like you too. And then everyone on the team slowly is like acknowledging it. Like, oh, hey, you like him, huh? No one has a problem with it, and they are like falling like into perfect love. And it's boring to me.
What Q's saying is that never happens to him, is what I'm hearing.
Exactly.
Oh,
he's
please.
Jealous. That's one night, kid.
You mean,
that's one night.
You mean someone gets my bitter sachet, but me?
Carl's so happy in the corner.
Sachet away. Oh, Lord. Demon Knights is good, too. I'm reading that.
I love Demon Knights.
And Shade. How can I forget Shade? Freaking all. Oh, we have a type of Earth, too.
Oh.
We almost did not mention.
Oh, that was good.
Earth, too, and it's controversial change where now the JLA, they're not the old heroes like they were in retirement homes. No, they're the Justice League in this universe falls and gets killed by Darkseid's forces, and then these are the new heroes.
That step up.
And I think it's great because it's reinventing it for a whole new generation of people to get into these characters and not starting them off as old people.
Well, I just found out with Jay Garrick how he got his powers.
Man came to him.
Well, no, that's now.
And fell out
but
of
back
the sky.
In the day, he drank mercury. I didn't know that. I was like, what?
You could do that now. You could not do that now.
Oh. So I didn't read the Earth's Finest because I was kind of like.
I will say this. My DC is always my DC history and continuity is not as good as Marvel because I'm a Marvel fanboy originally.
But it's getting better. I mean, you've been
And it's been getting better. But I will be the first to admit I was so confused. Like I could follow the story with Earth 2, but then like all this random stuff was happening. I'm like, I don't know what this is. I don't know what this is.
But I did like in the World's Finest. The only thing I did like was Helena. Turning around and saying that she adopted the identity of the crime boss's daughter and then burnt that identity to become somebody else. That she used that. So all this time it's been her, but she's been changing her identity.
Smart. That's smart.
So I'm like, all right, that makes sense. And Karen and Mr. Terrific has been Power Girl.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, really?
Who supposedly knew? Terrific's going to go back over to the other universe, which
he's
going to
be part of the lineup.
But Power Girl's going to stay in our universe. And hopefully Amanda Connor comes back and draws her again.
And her boobs will come flying.
I love it. Boob window. Boob window or whatever.
Because, I mean, George Perez is awesome, but you know.
No, he's not. Actually,
back in the day, he was.
Back in the day, but everything he's done in the last however many years has just been disappointing, I think. But I'm sorry. I'm disappointed in Bendis, though. So, you know, some creators, they just kind of have their ups and downs. Who else? Anything else DC-wise?
No, I think that's all.
I read Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman!
Wonder Woman!
She is fantastic.
Yeah.
I may drop it, actually.
I never thought I was
go to hell.
Wonder Woman book. And they made me a fan.
No,
I make so many people fans of Wonder Woman now, and Brian Azzarello just did such a great is doing such a great job with her.
You know, I've realized it's just not my Wonder Woman.
No,
it's not Linda Carter. Let it go,
first
Brian.
First of all,
even a big Linda
Carter
fan.
I wonder if you can agree with me on this. I don't think we should be taking advice or critiques from a man who likes Liefeld books.
At OMAC.
No. I didn't say I liked Liefeld books. I'm interested.
Excuse you? What?
Interested.
What? I haven't read them yet.
Let's rewind.
I'm interested. I haven't read it yet. No, I just, something about the Wonder Woman arc, like, I'm interested, but I'm not interested enough. I'm feeling very much like it's on the it's on my bubble. Ass. It's like, you know, I just may drop it. I don't know. I
just burst that bubble, bitch.
But you kept reading OMAC for some reason.
OMAC is awesome. Anyway. Real quick, plug wise, Brett can be found. Matt and Brett Love Comics. Is there a website?
Yeah, mattandbrettlovecomics.com. Me and Matt Little host a podcast. If you want to hear us talk about the New Mutants or Quantum and Woody or Sandman or Incredible Hulk or X-Force, we've done episodes about all of those things.
Awesome.
And our interview with Chris Roberson goes up next week, followed by The Goon is the thing we're doing a couple weeks from now.
So. Oh, wow.
I have not read that. So
yeah,
tune in.
Lots of comic book talk. It's all I do with my life.
I love it. Isn't that great? And then Everything Rabbits, that's your sketch team?
Yeah, that's the name. My team performs every third Monday of the month at the UCB Theater in New York City at 26th and 8th in the heart of Chelsea. So you have plenty to do.
Say something funny.
If you are gay and want to come see my show, because that's where all the gay bars are.
Never say no.
I'm a writer on that team.
Always say yes. That's the deal. And CBR, of course. So you still regularly contribute? Is there like, do you have like a in the midst of all the stuff on CBR, you'll see your name?
Yeah, I have a column starting at some point soon. Just waiting to get that starting. I just wrote a piece, I think that went up last week, about the Avengers movie that could have existed in the early 90s, the Daredevil and Hulk TV movies with with the Hulk and Thor and
God.
Dolph Lundgren movie and all that.
That's so funny.
Comedy piece.
Why would you do that?
We call that the crappy Marvel era.
Yeah.
Wait, but no, but
there were enough characters that they could have launched the movie. Thank God they didn't.
Gen X was good.
Oh boy, no.
I liked it.
Well, before we sign off, just this is an official announcement. We got the word today. We will be at Gay Days.
Yay!
We will be in the Bear Hall where we belong. We will be there, all of us.
Goddamn Batman.
By hook or by crook.
Goddamn Batman.
We will all be there. So if you are at Gay Days and you want to come by the expo, it's at the Doubletree in International Drive. We'll be in the Bear Hall, which is way out on the something side of the hotel.
Where the bear pool is.
The bear pool. Yeah, look for the bears. You'll find us.
If you're cute, the question will sleep with you. If you're cuter, I'll sleep with you.
And everybody else can sleep with Eric.
Yeah, I'm not picky.
Married folk. So... stop by the booth and say hi, and on, I guess, that note...
Wait.
Oh, wait,
did
wait.
He not... Well, this is a test, actually, to see...
Oh, God.
Hey, Brett.
I'm sorry.
Guys?
You're terrible.
We're sorry,
hey,
Brett.
Brett.
Sorry,
hey,
I'm
Brett.
So sorry.
Yo, Brett. Yo. Oh, Brett.
What up?
Have you listened to an episode of Flame On before?
No.
Okay, that's okay.
We don't judge.
That's okay, because now we have to play a game. Because we end every episode by saying something. So what is the opposite?
Tell him what it is.
What is the opposite of flame on?
Ice off.
You know, that is exactly what the gay comic geek thought.
Yeah,
it
that's
was,
actually
too.
Is accurate, but
it's
close.
It's
try again.
Just the second word.
Flame off?
Yes.
Take it to the top, make it pop. Take it to the top, make it pop, make it pop. Take it to the top, 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 make it pop, make it pop. Take it to the top, make it pop. Take it to the top, make it pop. Take it to the top, make it pop.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.